it, but NBC Steve Handelsman reports they have the bomb, an improvement of the underwear bomb they tried to use in 2009.
Officials say the new bomb was non-metallic, designed to pass undetected through the best in airport security. Proof that Al-Qaeda is still targeting air travel and that Yemen is home to Al-Qaeda's most active organization.
Several elections to watch today. In Wisconsin, Democrats will choose who will face Governor Scott Walker in his recall election next month. In North Carolina, it's same-sex marriage as voters will decide if the state's constitution should be changed to define marriage as between a man and a woman only. It is expected to pass. This is NBC News Radio. Rick Santorum has endorsed Mitt Romney. NBC's Scott Walterman says it was unusual.
Well, mostly because of two things, Lynn. One, he endorsed him by email. And two, it was an email sent out late at night. As you know, the two had a pretty bitter primary fight, with Santorum once saying Romney was the worst Republican in the country to challenge President Obama in the general election.
President Obama out on the campaign trail himself today. He'll travel to Albany to challenge Congress with a to-do list for the economic recovery. The Senate votes today on a Democratic proposal to keep interest rates on federal loans from doubling July 1st. And Justin Bieber has broken a YouTube record.
If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. I could take you places you ain't never been before.
His new music video got 8 million views in the first 24 hours it was posted. That was last Thursday. It's now been clicked on 18 million times. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merriman. Call Bob from Accountemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
Mike Rowe here at a Ford dealer with Fiona. Fiona here was just telling me the Ford dealer sells something like a new tire every 5 seconds. How's that possible?
Well, Ford purchases about 3 million tires a year.
Seems like a lot of tires.
11 major brands.
And you just sold one right now.
We also have what's called a low-price tire guarantee.
How's that work?
We'll beat anybody's advertised price, guaranteed.
And get a $100 rebate when you buy 4 select tires.
You're not going to run out, are you?
Absolutely not.
Promise?
I promise.
Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 531-12.
This month, 3 plants where beef is produced will close permanently and 650 jobs will be lost. Beef Products Incorporated, the company closing plants in Texas, Kansas, and Iowa, and greatly scaling back work at a Nebraska facility, blames the controversy surrounding so-called pink slime. Online petitions calling for bans and press reports with plenty of the gross-out factor have slammed the business of ammonium-treated beef, despite the fact it's been government-approved and used for years. If it takes all your willpower not to eat an entire box of Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies at one stop, I've got tough news. Today, the Nestle Candy People will announce 3 new Girl Scout cookie editions of the Crunch Candy Bar. The Thin Mint, Caramel Coconut, and Peanut Butter Cream Bars will be available only through the summer, starting next month. Japan's Nikkei bounces back about 0.5% today, but that's after almost a 3% loss yesterday. European markets are down. S&P futures losing 8 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Email marketing works great for small business, and Constant Contact email marketing works best of all. How do we know? Because we have something the other guys don't have. Proof. According to an independent study, small businesses that use Constant Contact get 36% more of their emails opened and 60% more responses. The result? A whopping 29% more revenue. Put Constant Contact email marketing to work for your small business. Go to ConstantContact.com to sign up for a free trial today.
Summer celebrations are fast approaching, and with the Sherwin-Williams exterior stain sale, it's the perfect time to gear up for them. Through July 8th, Deckscape's deck stains are only $29.99 per gallon, and save on power washer rentals where available. Now you can clean, prep, stain, and seal your deck all in one day, with plenty of money left over to throw a great party on it. Woodscape siding stains are also on sale for just $31.99 a gallon. Get your stain project started today at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or visit sherwinwilliams.com/deck.
There's no guarantee a penny saved is a penny earned. No guarantee a word to the wise is sufficient. Even with conventional wisdom, guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by a sure guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and/or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now, as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, change does begin today. I appreciate you being with me, with us for that matter. But I got to tell you, everything's fair game to me today, including Democrats and Republicans. I'm going to come back to that in a few, but I will tell you, you know, Mitt Romney's going to be in Michigan today. I was actually going to start this off by saying, did you hear the joke about Mitt Romney coming to Michigan? And you were going to say, what joke? And I was going to say, that is the joke, because it is. He'll be in Lansing. I could care less, but I do need to call him out over something. He's such a piece of garbage, this guy. I mean, I know he's an intelligent man. I know Mitt Romney is an intelligent man. I don't take that away from him. He's not stupid by any measure. I think he's uncomfortable in his own skin. I think that he makes an incredibly inane candidate for the presidency. I think that if I were a Republican, I would be looking for a gun, not for any other reason, to support the Second Amendment, because I might want to consider offing myself if that's what I had to deal with as my candidate. He's that bad, and he is that bad, and we're going to come back to it. The Romney campaign has decided to employ a strategy that is, let's say, laughable. And I'm being so kind right now. But it's not just going to be about Republicans today. There's a specific Democrat that I'm going to go after who needs to be ashamed of the way she has acted. And I'm going to make her wear some of that today. So you have that to look forward to. We're also going to listen to some audio in this hour from current City Councilman Kwame Kenyatta, who is going to be leaving at the end of his term. Now, that term goes for another year and a half, but he had plenty to say on Flashpoint this past Sunday, so we're going to get to that in this hour. Now, coming up, Tova Perlmutter will be joining us from the Sugar Law Center. We begin a monthly ongoing series with them, and we will look forward to having her on today. We'll also be checking in with Mark Schauer of the Blue-Green Alliance. They have a job fair and conference coming up this week at the the Marriott at the Renaissance Center, so we'll get to that. Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift at 7:50. Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, will be our guest at 8 o'clock. And at 8:30, Susan Reed with a really interesting new program with regard to immigrants. And I think it's going to really piss off conservatives that listen to this show. So I'm really excited to bring this program to you because the governor and I actually happen to agree on this issue. And I know a lot of you Republicans don't agree with the governor on this issue. So, hey, listen, there's something for everyone today.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Demanding is our first word today. It is demanding. Demanding. Come on. It's a great word. It's a great word. Certainly those of you that are on the other side of the issues I am are the most demanding people I have ever met in my life. You don't demand the truth, though. You demand your point of view be honored. You demand that every exclamation point you use, whether it's used properly or not, be somehow heralded as the greatest exclamation point in the history of using grammar. I'm okay with that. We'll let it go because it's cheaper than money, I guess. Demanding. I get it. You're all demanding more than you got because, frankly, as I just said, if I had Mitt Romney as my nominee, I'd be demanding a whole lot more, but that's just me. You know, us liberal Democrats, we demand excellence. You severely conservative Republicans, you just demanded the candidate. Well, you got one. Good luck with that. I have no room for bullcrap today. I just don't have room for it. So I'm demanding, as if I can, that you pay attention. Pay attention, because at some point throughout the course of the next 3 hours, whether you want it or not, you're going to learn something you didn't think you were going to learn. What is it? I don't know. I don't know what you don't know. I do know this. That we need to be more demanding of each other in the good stuff, and be a little more understanding. Hear me now. A little more understanding when we don't know something. Let's try to nurture things along. If anything, demanding doesn't have to be a bad thing. It doesn't have to be a Republican thing. Because trust me on this. For those of you that are paying attention, you already know this. Demanding is a good word in their world, but they don't realize they use it in a bad way. All right, today's first word is demanding, so that's that. Jeffrey, of course, the first thing I saw when I got up this morning, Tigers lose 3-2. Again, no offense. Great pitching performance by Doug Fister, so we'll give him that. Returning home, if you will, for the first time since he came to the Tigers. We move on. Game two tonight.
Yes, indeed. And what's it, four straight now? Four straight now to the Seattle Mariners?
That would be true.
That's incredible. Because it's not like they're a world-beating team.
No, they're not. No, they're not. So, but anyway, I'm just, I hate when they play on the West Coast. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't like the West Coast trips ever, never have, never will. Even when I was a kid, I hated them because although I was one of those kids that listened to my transistor radio at night in bed, even that was too late for me. I would never be able to stay up late enough to listen to those West Coast games. So it's kind of a drag, but we've got to play the game. So that's the game. How's Brandon Ninja doing, by the way? Have you followed him at all?
He had a 3-run home run the other day to help him win.
I mean, beyond that, I mean, is he fielding okay? Is he is his batting average?
It's better than Detroit, and it's not great. Okay. I think it's 177, but he's got a 3-run home run, and he's coming up with key hits, and that's what he did here. But it wasn't, I guess it wasn't often enough.
Well, it wasn't. Well, it wasn't often enough. We do know that.
Had clutch. I mean, when he came up, I mean, when he did get hits, they were big hits. It's just, people look at the average. Sometimes I wonder. I mean, obviously you want somebody with a high average, but when a guy's hitting in times where you're blowing somebody out, it's like, yeah, great, thanks for the hit. Or when you're getting blown out and it's not going to help you win. But when you're batting like 200 and every time you have a hit, it's a clutch hit. Not that that's Brandon Inge. I'm just saying, if that was the case, I would live with that. A guy who's like, okay, my hits matter at least.
Yeah, well, I want him to do, as we said last week, I want him to do well. He's got a second chance. I want him to be happy. I want him to do well. Nothing could make me happier, except against the Tigers, that he has a great year.
So, that's Brandon Ninja. I'd love to have him have a good year, too. So, Seattle, by the way, is 14-17, three games under 500, and they're 4-0 against Detroit this year. if you take the four losses away, Detroit's 14-10. Now, if you say they split those, suddenly they're 16-12. It's just unreal how different The four Seattle games have been for Detroit, and if you can split them up any other way than obviously 0-4, then Detroit suddenly, you know, half these problems are gone. They're maybe a half a game behind Cleveland. They're still one of the best teams in the American League. It's Seattle. Seattle's the thorn in their side right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. Well, you know, again, they win the series this weekend against the White Sox. They start, and by the way, I thought I read it wrong, and then I went back and looked. They have, like, they've got a 9-game road trip, and then they come home for a couple games, and then they're gone for, like, 10 more games or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, I think early on they are away more often than they're home, and then late, obviously, which is good because the same thing will happen as last year. You start out slow. They were 25-25 after 50 games last year, and then they end up winning 95 games, so...
Oh, I'm okay with them being gone early in the year if that means that they necessarily won't be gone later in the year. And, again, these West Coast trips are tough on
them. The West Coast must be a big deal. What do you think the toughest division in the American League is?
I don't know.
The East, probably, because they got the Yankees, the Red Sox, Rays. Baltimore's doing really well right now. I would say everyone thinks of the Central as a weak division, but then the only reason why you think the West is any good is because the Rangers are out there. The Angels aren't doing that well. The Athletics are terrible. The Mariners are terrible. The Tigers are 1-7 against the weak West. All right, and then against the East, they're 6-3. Go figure.
Go figure. That's why you play them, right, Jeff?
It's unreal. That every year, people say, well, the Tigers are lucky they're in the Central because they got weak opponents. They actually do worse against the weak opponents than they do against the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Rays. It's nuts.
Well, you know, again, the one thing that they have to do is they have to start hitting better and more often.
I'm right there with you. Now that you got Fister back and Verlander is Verlander, Scherzer's worked on something, although it's only been one game against the White Sox, but they said that they found some mechanical flaw that he's fixed. And I thought, you know, Dan Dickerson made a great point the other day. Take out Porcello's game against the Rangers, and his numbers don't look that bad. Their pitching is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, no question. No question that's true. We just need to see the hitting pick up the pace a little bit. That's all. All right, let's take a quick break here. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about Kwame Kenyatta's comments on Flashpoint this past Sunday. There's a local politician, a Democrat, who is dead wrong and needs to be called out for it. She needs to wear it, and I don't care that she's been public about it. She needs to pay for what she said. And she said this, or what she's done, not even what she said, what she's done. We'll come back and talk about that, folks. We got a lot to get to today. 888-552-3595. Bring your best game today, because it's not going to be pretty if you don't. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Looking good on your drive. No accidents or incidents to report. Do have construction on 696 westbound at Ryan Road. It starts at 9 a.m. and lasts till 3. You have your right lane closed. 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 exit. Then have road construction there. And 275 north and south between 94 and Michigan Avenue. Right lane will be closed for bridge work. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with showers in the early morning. Tonight, 50 degrees and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 63 with showers scattered throughout the whole day. And it's currently 57 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit has an ambitious goal in mind, reaching across movements, geography, race, and gender to provide people skills and the ideas they need to make the American dream a possibility for all of us in 2012. Follow their lead and register today by going to themichigansummit.org. The Michigan Summit is hosted by Progress Michigan and generously supported by the Arcus Foundation and sponsors like the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan Voice, Service Employees International Union, America Votes, and many more. Please join Progress Michigan on Saturday, May 12th, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, beginning at 8 a.m. in what promises to be an amazing day of activities, including the dynamic keynote speakers George Goel and Barbara Arnwine. Don't delay your registration. Just go to themichigansummit.org and register now to guarantee your seat for what will be an amazing day of activism and empowerment.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
All right. Now, you know, and I said I'm a little on edge today. I'm a little on edge today because there's a lot going on. I'm not happy with the way everything's necessarily moving forward. I'm not taking it out on anybody, but I'm just letting you know up front. We're going to get to some audio here in just a second. But, Jeff, I was listening to the Michigan Summit commercial. And by the way, we're going to be giving away two tickets to the Michigan Summit, which is this Saturday at some point in the 7 o'clock hour. So people want to pay attention to that. Jeff, somebody left me, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the following message on my voicemail yesterday afternoon. Now, if you are listening, the person that left this message, if you are listening, you're going to be pissed at me. I don't care. This is what the message basically said. Hey, Tony, I was kind of listening to the show yesterday, but wasn't paying attention. You had mentioned something about something going on Saturday. I was wondering. Ready? I was wondering. Was it free? Is there a way I can get a ride? If there isn't, and if it isn't free, can you call me back and let me know how much it costs and how I might be able to get there? What is it about? Is there a website? And he asked another four or five questions. And then leaves me two phone numbers. Please call me back and let me know all this information. Really? Do people really think that that's what I exist for?
You're a directory. We have a thing called a podcast where you can go back and listen and catch a lot of the stuff that we mentioned.
All right. How many? We're playing that commercial at least once an hour, right?
Yeah, at least. Maybe more.
All right. We've been talking about the Michigan Summit for how long now?
A week and a half.
If not longer. My point is, really, people expect me to call them. And then really, this guy was like, okay. I mean, there was a long laundry list of things that he wanted. And I didn't call him back, obviously. And I'm not being a diva or whatever. But I just don't think that's where, you know, my time is best spent. All right. On Flashpoint on Sunday, as we announced last week, Detroit City Councilman Kwame Kenyatta is not going to seek re-election at the end of this term, which goes another 18 months. With that said, the former county commissioner, current and former and future activist for the people of Detroit, had a lot on his mind. Let's start with this first piece of sound where he said that, no, by not running does not mean he's giving up.
As a 17-year-old, I was out on the streets of Dexter and various other places, working in the Malcolm X Community Center, organizing young people and working with our senior citizens and challenging the political system and trying to make things better.
So some might see then that this is you throwing in the towel, that it's just too bleak.
Well, no, I'll never throw in the towel. I mean, I have a 40-year record, a 40-year history of being involved, and I'm going to continue to be involved. This is not the only front that I've been on, and it won't be the last front that I'd be on and operate on, and I don't think it's probably the most effective front that I've been on as well.
All right, well, that's fair enough. Now, obviously, at some point, you've got to talk about, you know, the consent agreement and all that, and Kwame at this point says that the long-term debt, because we hear a lot about the $14, $16 billion in long-term debt, is really not as big a deal as some might think.
But if not that, if not, let's say it goes to an emergency manager, do you think bankruptcy is a better option simply because it's purer?
Well, and I'm not sure if we even have to get to bankruptcy. What about a better way to govern without control from the outside? What about a partnership without a boss? Or
when we get to, we're looking at $14 billion in long-term liabilities.
Long-term. This facility, this organization have long-term obligations. General Motors have long-term,
sure,
even after the bankruptcy. All municipalities have long-term. They act as if Detroit is the only municipality in the world that have long-term debt. It's not due today. It's not due tomorrow. It may not be due for the next 30 or 40 years.
And he went on to say, guys, because I watched it, he went on to say, not that it doesn't have to be dealt with. It does, but don't make it sound like it's some kind of plague that it's not. And I would have to agree with him on that. And finally, Councilman Kenyatta says, well, on Detroit and the youth and politics and corruption, well, I'll let it say it in his words.
Youth of Detroit are a little lost at the moment.
Well, sure. And, of course, I come out of a tradition as a young person. I was a young person and still fairly young. But I was one of those young persons that was grabbed and put into a movement with direction and identity and purpose and those kind of things. I don't see that movement right now. And folks say, well, there he go. That's old and that's back in the day. But guess what? When those movements existed, whether you agree with the Black Panther Party or the Nation of Islam or the Republic of New Africa, on the corner that they occupied, there was no shooting, there was no crime, there was no drug, there was no prostitution on those corners. There was a sense of pride, a sense of identity, and a sense of purpose. They weren't trying to kill folks, they were trying to heal folks, and they were trying to create a better lifestyle for us. And to the extent that we came into the boardroom, there were folks who said to me and others, well, look, you need to take your struggle where it can make a difference. You need to be on the Board of Education.
Yeah.
You need to be at the city council level, and folks got together and said, okay, yeah, look, we'll run you, we'll elect you. So we got here, and it's all that I thought it was from the outside, corrupt, confused, and compromising.
All right, you know, and I think that he makes, again, some fundamentally sound points. I like the end of that because it kind of fits nicely into what the Occupy movement is evolving into or should evolve into. It's not, you know, listen, it's not just about showing up, and at some level, it's not even just about showing up and then standing up. It's about lasting and committed change to issues and ideas and purposes. And so at some point, these people that, especially those on the right, like to claim that they don't work, which is, of course, a lie, or that they're lazy, which is, of course, another lie perpetuated only by the right. This idea that that just by showing up and standing up is enough, and it's not, because action matters. And so I won't be surprised, nor should you, if some of these people that are now currently in the Occupy movement end up moving into leadership positions, elected leadership positions. Don't be surprised if one day you're listening to a radio show, not unlike this one, and there's somebody being interviewed that said they got their start in the Occupy movement. That's what motivated them to get involved in certain issues. I would suggest that there are people involved on certain committees now that wouldn't have been involved there. I know it's true because I've met some of them. They've been on this very show, that they wouldn't be involved if it weren't for the Occupy movement. So I liked what the councilman had to say, especially at the end of that last soundbite, because it was profoundly right. I mean, it's profoundly correct. And I like it. I like it a lot. So anyway, appreciate that. When we come back, we'll get to the phones. And then there's a local lawmaker, a Democrat, state house, that voted on something last week that squarely puts her in the enemy category. And I'll explain that and more when First Shift continues. Stay right where you're at. Tom in Detroit's up next. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break on 1310 WDTW and be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we got a couple of problems to watch out for. 75 southbound at Grange Hall Road, you got an accident that's blocking your left lane. And University Drive in both directions is closed at Main Street due to a water main break. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with showers in the early morning. Tonight, 50 degrees and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 63 with showers scattered throughout the whole day. And it's currently 57 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Chad. So what is the personal property tax, and how does it indeed affect certain communities?
Personal property tax attacks the machinery and equipment inside of a business as opposed to the building and the land. And for some communities, it's a huge percentage of their local budget, and it's not necessarily the communities you would think. In some cases, it's a fairly small town.
On 1310 WDTW.
First, the corruption. Then, the cover-up. And now, a sham to cover up the cover-up. This is the ongoing saga of the sorry state of corporate morality at the highest levels of Walmart. Since 2002, the global retailing Goliath has brazenly violated America's Foreign Corrupt Practices Act by doling out some $24 million in bribes to gain control of Mexico's retail market. For years, top executives, including the CEO and a former CEO, conspired to cover up Walmart's butt-ugly corruption, but a New York Times expose has now stripped them naked. Shamelessly displaying their usual hubris, however, the executives have launched a PR campaign to convince us that Emperor Walmart remains covered in robes of exquisite ethics. Even if the corruption charge is true, says a dissembling corporate spokesman, it is not a reflection of who we are or what we stand for. Oh? Who does he mean by we? Walmart is defined by the top executives and board members who make corporate policy, and who conducted and covered up the flagrantly illegal acts. Yet, they want us to believe that someone else is responsible for staining what we stand for. Perhaps those nice greeters at their megastores are the guilty ones. For a measure of who and what Walmart really is, look no further than its post-expose scramble to set up a brand-spanking new top-level legal compliance office. Ethics are us, it now claims. After the scandal broke, Walmart announced that an executive officer will henceforth make sure Walmart employees obey the law. This is Jim Hightower saying, what a sham. First, Walmart's employees aren't the problem. Its so-called leaders are. Second, if top executives don't know or care that bribery is unethical, an ethics office will be as worthless as a Jell-O doorstop.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock, it is Tuesday, the 8th day of May, 2012. We have a lot to get to today, and we're going to go right to it. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Tom, as always, a pleasure to have you punch in with us on an early morning.
And good morning to you and all the listening audience. I wanted to refer back to Sundays, or refer to Sundays' Free Press article by Rochelle Riley. It says the top headline is, "A bit of good news doesn't solve a big problem." And what she said was the picture with Sergio Marchionne and Dan Gilbert standing there said it spoke volumes in terms, she said it's worth 1,000 words, but it spoke volumes in terms of what was not there, who was not there.
She yeah.
refers to Mayor Bing. And, you know, I wrote a letter to the editor, and I mentioned Detroit as a tale of two cities, you know, the worst of times, the best of times, and the worst of times. And, I mean, if you look at it on the city government side, I mean, this has got to be the worst of times. You know, you're trying to keep the city from, as she referred in the article, imploding on itself. And on the flip side, on the local business side, you got Marchionne, Dan Gilbert, and, you know, guys like this, and I don't say that to be sexist, though, because I know there's some, you know, women who are involved in this, you know, resurgence of Detroit. I mean, look at how many jobs Gilbert's brought downtown. I mean, Sergio Marchionne, he opened up Chrysler House, and they're moving 70 people in there. Blue Cross Blue Shield. And, I mean, you know, it seems to me like what's missing in this puzzle is the connect, or rather the reaching out to the local business leaders and, you know, trying to work with them to do for the city what, you know, they, you know, business-wise have done. And that's to bring some jobs in here to generate some revenue because, you know, with this consent agreement and probably if they goof up with this consent agreement, the emergency manager coming in, there's nothing in terms of the emergency manager creating any kind of, you know, job opportunity.
Well, you know, Tom, part yes, and we need more jobs in Detroit. Detroiters need more jobs. There's no question that's true. Mm-hmm. You know, we could, again, talk about transit because without being able to get people to and from work, it doesn't matter
right.
if there are jobs there or not.
Exactly.
We could go on and on and on. And the bottom, yep. and at the end of the day, you know, part of the challenge here is, as Dan Gilbert moves jobs, let's say, from Farmington to Detroit, what about that building in Farmington? What does that do to that community? You know, there is a cost to this. I mean, just
right.
because Detroit gains, you know, and we want Detroit to do well, doesn't mean
yeah.
that we should be celebrating the fact that Farmington or Farmington Hills loses something in the process.
No, so, and there's no way in the world I would do that. And, you know, but I remember when, who was it, when the Pistons moved from, you know, moved up to Auburn Hills. I mean, and the Lions went out to the Silver Dome. I mean, I don't remember hearing any great outcry in terms of what was lost here. But, you know, right now we are all inextricably connected. And, I mean, to make this region, you know, do well, in a manner of speaking, we've all got to do well. I mean, like you said, you know, you got empty buildings out in Farmington now with Gilbert moving, you know, people downtown. But, you know, it's a heck of a dilemma right there. But ultimately, you know, Tony, I'm an optimist. We're going to be okay. And what I'm talking about, I'm talking about Detroit proper, but in terms of the surrounding area, too, because, you know, they say, and so goes Detroit, so goes the state.
And you've heard me say that myself many times, Tom.
Right, right. And, but, you know, we're going to be okay down the road, okay? And then tomorrow, you know, no. But down the road somewhere, how far that is, I don't know. But things are going to be okay. There's sunshine. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a freight train.
Well, I agree. Thank you for your call, as always.
Right,
appreciate
Tony,
your point of view. Absolutely. Rochelle Riley's column in Sunday's papers, available at freep.com for those that may want to read it. All right. Well, you know, we're going to get to Mitt Romney at 6:50. But for now, we're going to talk about State Representative Shanelle Jackson, who should be ashamed of herself. Why should she be ashamed of herself? Because she was the lone Democrat to vote for an increase in cyber schools here in the state of Michigan, and then writes a column, an opinion piece, in the Michigan Citizen newspaper last week, defending her position. Now listen, she has a right to vote any way she wants. I'll give you that. She has a right to defend her position. I'll give you that. She has a right to her point of view. I will give you that. But doesn't mean I have to agree with it or you have to agree with it. Doesn't mean that we have to embrace it or you have to embrace it. In fact, the exact opposite is true. We have every right to vehemently oppose what she says. And what she basically says is more competition is good. She goes on to cite a study out of the University of Arkansas that claims, and I'll do my homework and get this information, that claims that cyber schools actually are good, healthy, wonderful educational environments. Now, that may be true for a small percentage, and I'm talking less than 0.1% of all young people in an educational setting. Cyber schools may be the answer for them. I would agree that there is a use for online learning. There's a use for it. But to replace public education is to me, not the proper use. Now, somebody sends me an email yesterday, Harvey Santana, who was just amazing on yesterday's show, talked about lobbyists. Somebody sends me this article from, or this op-ed by Shanelle Jackson, Representative Shanelle Jackson, and says, do you think the lobbyists got to her? Well, I don't know. I mean, I responded to his email, so I have no idea if the lobbyists got to her. I don't know. I wasn't in her office. I don't speculate on stuff like that. But I will say this. Whether she was bought, sold, this is her own opinion, and she's going to just stand by it. Whether you believe her explanation or not, and I say it's fair to question her explanation, because we're talking about lawmakers, and not all of them are created equal, and rarely do you find that many honest ones. We just happen to be fortunate that we have a handful that appear on this program. I don't trust somebody that supposedly has the backs of the disadvantaged, the poor, etc., as Shanelle Jackson does as a state representative. And then she turns around and justifies her position on cyber schools. It makes no sense. There's a huge disconnect there. I read and reread her op-ed piece, and I just can't buy it. Now, I don't have to, right? Maybe she's not speaking to me. And in all fairness, she doesn't represent me. But her vote does matter. Did it matter? Was she the deciding vote? No, but she could have been. That vote, which was Senate Bill 619, was very close, as you'll recall. Now, will we ever get to the truth? Will we ever find out what Shanelle Jackson was really given? Was she paid off for this vote? Did she get promised campaign contributions or whatever? Well, let's explore that just briefly, just on the fringes. We do know that she'd like to be a member of the United States Congress now. She feels that the work that she's done at the state level is something she's exhausted and now wants to serve you in Congress. Seemingly, she would fit in based on the behavior of the cyber schools legislation alone, because her vote was for sale at some level. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to get a copy of her campaign finance report, and we're going to see where her contributions came from, and we're going to follow the money. And you know what we're going to end up finding out? We're going to find out that there are people that are connected to the cyber schools legislation that donated to her congressional campaign, which she has no chance of winning at all. None. Zero. And so here's the worst part about that. Somebody bought her off. There's no question in my mind that's true. Now, I could be totally wrong, so there's my caveat. But I'm fairly sure somebody bought her off, and we'll do our homework and we'll figure that out. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to apologize. You know I will. I always do. If I'm wrong, I apologize. I have no problem with that. But I'm not going to be wrong on this one. And so what we have to ask ourselves is, she knows in her own mind that she can't win a seat to Congress. She's not going to win that primary. She's not going to go on to serve any district as a member of the United States Congress. And she is going to walk away from her state seat. So what did she get? Did she get a job out of this when it's all said and done? You know, we'll find out. We will eventually find out. But Representative Chanel Jackson, and I doubt that you're listening, and I'm actually hoping that this finds you in some way, shape, or form. I'm hoping that you are diligent and you go to the podcast page and you listen to everything I had to say. I read your explanation as to why you voted for the cyber schools legislation, and I don't believe a single word of it. Because in order to accomplish what you claim this legislation does, all you had to do was stand up for public school teachers and allow them to do their job. Costs no money to do that. Costs no political capital to do that. In fact, it would have just been the right thing to do. So enjoy whatever trinkets you got. Enjoy your life in the private world once you're no longer a servant of the state. But in the meantime, just know that there are people watching you. Let's take a break. Mitt Romney when we come back.
With Tony Tribbiani.
The United States of America, Barack Obama. Do you know Mitt Romney?
I've met him, but we're not friends.
1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Congressman Gary Peters. He, of course,
does not make any sense that in July that the interest rate that students will have to pay on their Stafford loans will double from 3.4% to 6.8%, adding an additional burden on those students who are already racking up debts as a result of the high cost of a college education. But you just think about it, at a time when you can get long-term 30-year mortgages for 4%, and you can have treasury bonds or treasuries at about 2% for a 10-year treasury, why you would charge 6.8% to student loans on federally subsidized loans. It does not make any sense given where interest rates are right now. And it certainly places a burden, an additional burden, on our students who are moving to get ahead in life.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up? Diggity dog.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's listen to a little audio that we'll circle back around on this one. I want to start off because there's a certain way to handle things. If somebody lies about a candidate, or if somebody has a misperception that's a damaging, even a damning misrepresentation, as a candidate, do you feel that you have a responsibility to respond to that misinformation? Well, in 2008, John McCain had to deal with somebody that said that Barack Obama was basically a terrorist. Let's listen to this exchange.
I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab. He is not...
No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues, and that's what this campaign is all about. He's not. Thank you.
Okay, so that's fair. I mean, John McCain, to his credit, fair enough, right? How about Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney was somewhere recently, and a woman comes up to him, and this is the, just listen, this is the exchange.
We have a president right now that is operating outside the structure of our Constitution, and I do agree he should be tried for treason, but I want to know what you are going to be able to do to help restore balance between the three branches of government and what you're going to be able to do to restore our Constitution in this country.
Well, as I'm sure you do, I happen to believe that the Constitution was not just brilliant, but probably inspired. I believe the same thing about the Declaration of Independence. And I believe, unlike what the president said about the Supreme Court, where he suggested that it was not just suggested, he said that it would be unprecedented for the Supreme Court to overturn a decision by the legislature. Actually, that's their role and has been since Marbury versus Madison in the early 1800s. And so I will respect the different branches of government if I'm fortunate enough to become president. One more thing I'll mention in that regard, and if you've got some specifics you want me to address in terms of policy, I'm happy to, but
All right. So he basically ignored what this woman said about the president of the United States. Treasonous? Treasonous, really? All right, so you have a right to your opinion, and I'll go with that. Now, some would say, listen, it's not Mitt Romney's job to correct this stuff. Well, okay, but it also wasn't John McCain's job to correct this stuff. But at some level, if there's a blatant lie that is a slanderous, damaging lie that is not based in fact, do you not feel that you need to kind of, I don't know, transcend, you know, the gutter stuff and say, wait, ma'am, all due respect, you know, the president may be this, but he's certainly not, certainly hasn't committed treason against this country. I think that's a bit extreme. But that would require Mitt Romney to do something that he just can't seem to do, and that is tell the truth.
And I don't know how to say this, folks, but I don't know that he knows the difference.
Can you imagine if this happened the opposite way? You know, Obama's taking questions and somebody's like, yeah, well, I do think Mitt's a Nazi, but what do you think about his policy on taxes? You know, do you not think that Obama would say, well, hold on, what did you say that before
yeah,
the taxes
thing? Of course he would. Of course he would. Just as, you know, again, we gave John McCain props. Listen, has John McCain been critical of this president as a president? Absolutely. But as he said, you know, we have fundamental disagreements on some really important issues, but that doesn't make him a bad person. It doesn't make him an Arab. It doesn't make him a terrorist. It doesn't make him, it doesn't mean that he's committing treason. Absolutely not.
I remember when that happened, too, and I felt two things. One, I was actually, you know, kind of shocked that McCain did that, and I felt like I had more respect for the guy because he did come out and stop a person. I mean, I think at the time, maybe his advisor was just like, hey, let that slide because that's you didn't say it, and yet people are still going to come away with that feeling from this exchange. But I felt proud that he would step up and say, no, listen, it's getting out of hand now. And two, I felt like, man, we might be in trouble now because that makes him look, you know, pretty good. Voters might actually respect the fact that he stopped somebody that was saying something like that.
Well, again, I'm astounded that Mitt Romney would do this. But then I started thinking, Jeff, because this is something that's really bothering you. The campaign strategy that the Romney campaign is employing, which is basically to take any issue you want to fathom, it doesn't matter what it is, and they either are trying to own it or they will lie about it and then retract it later on, right? That's basically what's going on. With that said, as an example, Mitt Romney claims that the reason the auto industry turned around is why? Because President Obama listened to Mitt Romney. Now, we all know that that's a joke, and it's laughable. It's laughable. But it's a lie. Mitt Romney's a coward. Cowards hide behind whatever it is they perceive to be their reality. And Mitt Romney, you know, somebody needs to tell their emperor he's not wearing any clothes. 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phones. Dave in Redford, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. Yeah, I was just wondering, how do you compare, comments by Obama when he called Republicans the enemy, and so do many other prominent Democrats? I mean,
they are the enemy. Well, they are the enemy, Dave.
Okay, well, how is not saying something?
There's a difference between, first of all, you know, there's a difference between saying somebody is committing treasonous acts, which the president is not doing.
And Mitt Romney never said. To be clear.
He absolutely didn't say it, but he allowed her to get away with it. Dave, are you not following the goddamn conversation here?
I understand what you're saying.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying. You only want to play half the game. You only want to talk about half the conversation. Dave, I'm so sick of people like, oh, shut up. Hang up the phone on this piece of garbage. Seriously, Dave, did you really think that I was going to let you come on here and do that? Now, this is the problem with you conservatives. You think you can co-opt everything and turn it and twist it. Well, do you think it is absolutely okay to call Republicans the enemy? Because it's true. Here's the difference, Dave. Let me make it simple. When you speak the truth, you don't have to apologize for it. So the difference is that lady was not telling the truth. Mitt Romney let her get away with a lie. If I have to explain that to you, I hope you don't have children. We'll take a break and be back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we got a couple of problems to watch out for. 75 southbound at Grange Hall Road, you got an accident that's blocking your left lane, and University Drive in both directions is closed at Main Street due to a water main break. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with showers in the early morning. Tonight, 50 degrees and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 63 with showers scattered throughout the whole day. And it's currently 57 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW.
NBC News Radio, I'm Craig Melvin. Are Americans slimming down? Fat chance. CDC warns that healthcare costs will skyrocket as the obesity rate climbs to 42% by 2030. Mass General's Dr. Janie Pratt.
They have a country that is perpetuating obesity because obese mothers are having children who are more likely to be obese as adults. And we have a toxic environment.
America's obesity rate already tops 36%. Foiled, the CIA and foreign partners have thwarted a plot by Al-Qaeda to smuggle a plastic underwear bomb aboard a jetliner bound for the U.S. The would-be suicide bomber had not yet picked a target when agents moved in. International financial markets volatile again today as concern over European debt continues. On Wall Street, stock futures point to a lower open. And we're not as green as we used to be. A new study finds public support for green energy efforts from gas mileage standards to wind and solar tax breaks has dropped 10%. Just 1% rank the environment as a top concern. This is NBC News Radio. The Senate steaming toward a showdown on student loans now and a Democratic proposal to keep loans from doubling in July. Republicans say they're in favor of freezing loan interest rates but oppose how Democrats would finance it by raising payroll taxes. NBC's Luke Russert.
So you're going to have this impasse. It's probably going to go through all of May and most of June, but the deadline is July 1st, so there still is enough time on Capitol Hill, some would say an eternity, for this to get done.
Meanwhile, House Republicans begin hearings on reforming or abolishing the Federal Reserve. Republican primaries today in North Carolina, Indiana, and West Virginia as presumptive GOP nominee Mitt Romney piles up more delegates. And the Babe's house is for sale. Home Plate Farm outside Boston, where legendary slugger Babe Ruth lived after he'd been traded to the Yankees on the market for the Ruthian sum of $1.6 million. That's more than the Sultan of Swat made in his entire playing career. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Craig Melvin, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Business people are working remotely from their iPad and iPhones, leaving their laptops behind. But the iPad and iPhone can't replace your office computer. Unless you have the GoToMyPC app, it's the missing link. It turns your iPad and iPhone into your computer. With GoToMyPC by Citrix, you can access your entire Mac or PC, work on any program or file from anywhere, even on the go. Try it free for 45 days. Download the free app, then visit GoToMyPC.com, click the Try It Free button, enter promo code 45.
Our nation's difficult job market has been more difficult on the young than on any other age group. But instead of just complaining, many new college grads have been getting creative. USA Today reports Generation Y is the most entrepreneurial generation ever. The Kauffman Foundation finds almost a third of entrepreneurs are 20 to 34 years old. Contributing factors include, of course, the inability to find regular jobs, but also a culture more welcoming of outside-the-box thinking. People who try to keep from eating too many Girl Scout cookies now will have to fight a two-front war. Today, Nestle will announce soon-coming special editions of its Crunch Candy Bar, featuring Thin Mint, Caramel Coconut, and Peanut Butter Cream Girl Scout cookie flavors, available just during the summer. Japan's Nikkei bounces back about a 0.5% today, but that's after almost a 3% loss yesterday. European markets are down modestly. S&P futures are down 8 points, NASDAQ futures falling 18. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem.
Welcome to GoToMeeting with HT Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HT Faces. Try it free today.
Email marketing works great for small business, and Constant Contact email marketing works best of all. How do we know? Because we have something the other guys don't have. Proof. According to an independent study, small businesses that use Constant Contact get 36% more of their emails opened and 60% more responses. The result? A whopping 29% more revenue. Put Constant Contact email marketing to work for your small business. Go to ConstantContact.com to sign up for a free trial today.
Narrowman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a... job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Norman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Mike Rowe here at a Ford dealer with Fiona. Fiona here was just telling me the Ford dealer sells something like a new tire every 5 seconds. How's that possible?
Well, Ford purchases about 3 million tires a year.
Seems like a lot of tires.
11 major brands.
And you just sold one right now.
We also have what's called the low price tire guarantee.
How's that work?
We'll beat anybody's advertised price, guaranteed.
And get a $100 rebate when you buy 4 select tires.
You're not going to run out, are you?
Absolutely not.
Promise?
I promise.
Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer for rebate.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, everybody. It is just 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, the 8th day of May, 2012. As promised, we will begin a new collaboration in this hour, a monthly collaboration with the Sugar Law Center. We'll get to that in just a few moments. We'll remind you at the bottom of the hour, Mark Schauer will be with us, former congressman, currently the director of the Blue Green Alliance. They have a jobs fair and conference at the Marriott Rensen this week, and he's here to talk about that in detail. And, of course, Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift as they do every day at 7:50. And we'll talk to somebody that's going to be heading down to North Carolina make sure that their voice is heard at the Bank of America shareholders meeting. So there's a lot to get to in this hour. Now, normally, of course, we have regular guests, we have our opens, and we will next month. But we need something to work with, and, well, that's what today is about. Now, let me tell you that it was actually Chris Mihalakis that suggested to the Sugar Law Center that they reach out to us to talk about coordinating a monthly visit. I, of course, jumped all over that. I think that this is something we can both learn a lot from, and I say both me and you, the audience. What the Sugar Law Center gets out of this is beyond me, but we'll let them figure that out on their own. Let me turn my attention now to our first guest. Joining me is Tova Perlmutter. Tova is the executive director at the Sugar Law Center. Her work there includes building collaborations and partnerships with allies in the struggle for justice, maximizing Sugar Law's public visibility in order to maximize its impact, managing daily operations, and raising funds to ensure the center's ability to continue to fight, and fight they do. We're going to talk about one or two of those fights today. Tova Perlmutter, welcome to First Shift and our inaugural program together.
Thanks so much, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I'm glad that you reached out to me, and I'm very excited about what we will be able to to do together. I will have to tell you, one of your staff members is a young man that I met when I was running for Congress back in 2006, a young man by the name of Tony Paris, who is...
I'm so impressed that you remember that, Tony. He said that to me. As soon as I said we were going to be doing this show, he said, oh, Tony Trupiano, I helped on his congressional run.
And he did, and he was... in fact, I saw him recently, and he I think he was surprised that I remembered who he was. But I did remember who he was, and just a great young man. And for maybe, who knows, at some point we'll get him on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Tova, let's talk a little bit... I think that people, they know when they hear Sugar Law Center, that's familiar. Where have I heard that before? Well, there's a reason it's familiar, and we'll tell them, you know, a little bit why they've heard of Sugar Law Center before. But talk a little bit about the Sugar Law Center and what they do.
Oh, and as you can imagine, I'm thrilled to share that whenever I can. Sugar Law was founded, gosh, about 20 years ago, and our purpose and mission is to advance the rights of working people in their communities. What that means in practice is that we take on all sorts of issues of economic and social justice. Most of the work we do is either representing people when their rights in the workplace are violated, and that's people generally who don't have unions. Of course, if they have unions, generally speaking, they don't need us. But as I'm sure your listeners are well aware, most American workers do not have the protection of unions. And what your listeners may not be aware of is that legal aid, which we all think of as the opportunity to get justice if you don't have enough money to hire a private lawyer, well, legal aid won't help people with employment issues almost entirely. There are very few exceptions. And so we are one of the only sources of help that low-wage workers can get if they've been screwed at work. And I hope your viewers, your listeners won't mind a little bit of salty language, but it happens. People get really shafted at the office or at the plant or, you know, out on the streets, wherever they may be working, and we're there to help them. And then the other kind of work that we do besides workplace rights is community economic rights. So we've done environmental justice cases, other situations where low-income or often minority neighborhoods can't get the attention of political representatives, often just because they don't have enough money. And so we're there to help them raise their voices a bit louder.
Well, again, the work that you do sometimes is unheralded, sometimes is recognized, other times it's chastised, and, you know, it's not easy being you folks over at the Sugar Law Center sometimes, is it?
Well, you know, we get so much energy and inspiration from the folks that we work with. I don't think any one of us would trade it for a less vilified role. The people who are chastised and vilifying us, well, we're proud to be chastised and vilified by them because they're the folks who are trying to reduce everyday justice and rights for the people of our state and our country. You know, the most notable example of that is, and I think this is probably where any of your audience that has heard of us has heard of us, we're the lead counsel in the constitutional challenge to the Michigan Emergency Manager Law. And, you know, you can bet when we saw that one coming down the pike, we started organizing immediately because something that challenges both fundamental local democracy and collective bargaining rights, well, sadly and horribly, it's the perfect storm in terms of our mission, and there was no way we weren't going to stand up and shout no.
Right. We're going to come back and talk about that. I do want to quickly, though, we've got a caller, and I want to invite people certainly to call 888-552-3595. You can, of course, send an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's welcome Les in Detroit. Les, you're on the air with Tova Perlmutter.
Good morning, fellow patriots.
Good morning, brother. What's on your mind?
I'm fine. I just wanted to say hello to Tova. You know,
hey.
I'm fine.
Is that Les Little?
Yes, it is.
Oh, we love Les. Les is one of our phenomenal plaintiffs in the emergency manager law, and I probably should have started there rather than putting the glory on us, because we have 28 amazing people from around the state, and Les is one of them who just stood up and said, you know, how do we fight this? Where do we fight this? How do we say no?
See, Tony, I want to welcome Tova to the show, and I'm glad you got a regular spot for on this station because, I mean, with the phenomenal thing that the Sugar Law Firm is doing, and Tova is just a phenomenal person, and just I just, you know, think she's the greatest patriot that I know next to you, Tony. obviously.
Les, you're a good egg. I appreciate that. Thanks for the call this morning. And we're happy to have Tova along as well. Tova, I do want to, you know, let this audience know that, you know, you're not an attorney. So, and I say that because in case somebody calls and wants legal advice, because I see that happening somewhere down the road. Not that you're going to be with us every week, but you're going to be with us a lot. You are not an attorney, and you're not here to give legal advice.
Correct. Absolutely correct, and thank you. I should probably have made that clear, but I'm really glad you did.
No, I just want people to understand that we're here to talk about issues, and we'll explore those. I'm going to give my opinion. You can give your opinion, but I'm not an authority, and people know that. And we're just here to discuss issues of social justice. Sometimes they're going to happen in the workplace, sometimes outside of the workplace. And again, the work that is being done on Public Act 4, which got way too much attention, of course, just over 10 days ago when the State Board of Canvassers decided that a challenge that was a bogus challenge, of course, it was about font size, became the center of, if you will, the petition universe. What a nightmare that has been.
Oh, you're not kidding, Tony. You're not kidding. But, you know, I think in one way we have to understand it as showing that we've got them on the run and we've got them scared. Because the fact that opponents of this repeal effort would be scrambling and trying to find anything they could. I mean, font size, for heaven's sake. Now, before anyone goes to, well, but it's the rules, the other thing to say is it was absolutely in compliance. And, you know, the printer who put it together made a very smart point. Anybody who isn't sure, go to your computer, print something out in 14-point calibre, and that's exactly what the petition is. So it's amazing to me that people can, you know, grab at straws that have no basis whatsoever, but they get an ear from those who are looking for an excuse to push back the voters. And that's what two of these members of the Board of Canvassers did.
Well, again, this past weekend, I hosted a rally at the state capitol to recall the governor. That issue was again come up. And I talked to a lot of people. There were people there holding signs that said font this. And, you know, listen, the font question was, it's a big question. And Tova, before we get to the break here, and I'm hoping you can stay with us through the break.
Sure.
You know, before we get to the break here, it's a fair question. Listen, if somebody did break rules, we would want to honor that. But you just made the point, no rules were broken. You know, this is easy enough to solve. We also know, and this is what I'll give you to think about as we go to break. We'll come back and talk about it. There's legal precedent. It's my understanding there's legal precedent that says that even though they denied this based on that criteria, that their other courts have said, wait a minute here. Wait. No. This is not the prevalent issue here. So let's go to the break and we'll come back and get your opinion. Again, Tova's not an attorney. I'm not an attorney. This, by the way, folks, is all public information. If you're paying attention, we talk about it on the show all the time. Let's take a break. The Sugar Law Center joins us on a monthly basis. We're going to get you their website and all kinds of good information when we come back. So stay where you're at. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we got a new accident on M59 eastbound at 94. It has your right shoulder blocked. Still watching that one on 75 southbound at Grange Hall Road, and that has your left lane blocked. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with showers in the early morning. Tonight, 50 degrees and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 63 with showers scattered throughout the whole day. And it's currently 57 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan. As keynote speakers George Coel and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, themichigansummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. My guest, Tova Perlmutter. She's the executive director at the Sugar Law Center. You're going to find them online at sugarlaw.org. Sugarlaw.org. They've got a bunch of information on there. They comment on lots of the stuff that they're involved in. So if you want some background, it's easily accessible through that website. So I would just suggest you go check it out. Spend a little time there. I think you're going to find that there's some worthy stuff. If you're just joining us, you should know that the Sugar Law Center will be joining us, or somebody from the Sugar Law Center will be joining us on a monthly basis. This is their inaugural visit, and again, their executive director, Tova Perlmutter, is my guest this morning. Tova, before the break, we had talked about legal precedent on an issue here, and we've done our homework. We know that there have been past challenges to petitions based on font size that didn't hold up in the court of law. Now, different courts at a different time, so maybe that gives us a different result this time, but does that give us some reason to hold on to some optimism as well?
Oh, I mean, I think there's no question that the judges on the appeals court would have to really violate their own commitment, which I'm sure they have, to the rule of law and the rule of precedent if they were to allow what has happened to stand. I'm not aware, although you may well have done more research than I have, of a precedent specifically on font size, but there's definitely many cases in the record that have been brought to judges where the ruling was what's required is what they call substantial compliance with the format requirements rather than exact compliance. Now, as I said before the break, we have exact compliance, but if for some reason, you know, they wanted to give deference to the State Board of Canvassers and say, oh, well, they get to decide whether it's in compliance with the font size, the fact is that the entire history of the case law says the benefit must of the doubt must be given to the voters. If the voters want something on the ballot, you can't let little minor changes in format prevent that. So we have every hope that this set of judges will understand their responsibility and do the right thing.
Well, we also know sometimes the law does not move as quickly as we need it to or would like it to. And, you know, this is a time-sensitive issue, of course, because we're trying to get something on the ballot. Those of us that signed that petition, and there were well over 200,000 people that did, I mean, are we optimistic that this will move through the courts in a way that will get us an answer whether or not this will appear on the ballot in time?
Well, you know, our writ that we submitted requesting a ruling from the appeals court asked that they do an expedited review and have a hearing within 7 days of our submission, which was last Thursday. We have not yet heard of a hearing occurring. On the other hand, again, I am somewhat optimistic. I think that these judges understand the importance of such constitutional questions. And I guess I would say that, naive as I may be, I would still be surprised if they did not take seriously the requirement to give a quick and expedited review for the sake of the people of Michigan.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. I'm sitting here and I'm actually kind of basking in the glory of the words you're using, because it is giving me some reason for hope, and this happens to be one of those mornings where I need a little hope. So thank you, Tova. but with that said, you know, it's critical to me, and I think it is critical to this audience as well. All we're asking for is the opportunity for democracy. There's no guarantee that this ends up on the ballot, that it passes.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
And so all we're asking for is a little democracy in action. And Tova, I mean, what more can anyone? That should be as bipartisan an issue as we can surmise.
Yeah, in fact, if you'll allow me, you know, one of the most sort of right-wing and conservative columnists in the state, and I'm not going to remember his name, but he's in the Muskegon newspaper, published something exactly to that point, saying this was a grave mistake for folks from, you know, as he put it, from our side, you know, understanding that there's, you cannot operate as though you're afraid of the public. That's not a smart way to operate. It's clearly not a right way to operate. And if you'll allow me, Tony, I would like to wax philosophical for just a moment. As you said, I'm not an attorney. Well, why do I do the work that I do? Because I believe the law is one among many forms of persuasion that we have available to us in our public discourse. It's not always the most important, but it is a powerful one because it has judges and courts and the opportunity to get reasoned arguments out into public. So that's a powerful tool, and we don't want to neglect it. But everything we do at the Sugar Law Center is based on the premise that the law is only one tool in a whole array of ways that the public makes its voice heard. And Les Little, the gentleman who called in earlier, is a perfect example of that. He's a patriot. He's one of our plaintiffs who says, I will make my voice heard in every way that I can. And I know that your listeners do that too. As you said, going out to a rally, putting your body in the streets to alert folks, to educate folks, and to make the power structure know we have demands upon you. You cannot operate with impunity.
Well, you know, and there's a responsibility, Tova, that comes with that. There's a responsibility to what you folks do with the Sugar Law Center, and it's not always a pleasant responsibility. That's one of the realities of being an activist or being a patriot or understanding that when somebody draws a line and you cross that line, that there is a price to be paid for that. Whether you're right or not doesn't matter sometimes, Tova. That struggle is critical, though, to getting us beyond where we are. We can't just accept things because they happen. I would think you'd agree with that.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And you know, I think what I look to, and again, I urge, you know, everyone to look to, is the amazing examples and inspirations that we have of people who said, this shall not stand, and put their own bodies, their lives, their families, their jobs on the line to take a stand on matters that would affect the entire country, state. You know, progress happens because individuals say, I need to take a stand. And there's so many ways to do that. But as you said, it sometimes isn't easy. But you know what? It feels good to go to bed at night knowing that you took a stand and you did what had to be done.
Well, I know that your schedule is exhausting. I thought mine was. I know yours is. I just get up early. That's my excuse. Your schedule is exhausting, and I don't know how you do everything that you do. We are just about out of time for today. I will tell you that, again, very excited about the opportunity, the mutual opportunity that we have to do this on a monthly basis, and we're going to look forward to doing that. Again, it's not always going to be you. There will be other people from the office that
Absolutely.
Will visit with us from time to time.
Absolutely.
But very excited about this. And again, we want to encourage people to check out your website, which is, again, sugarlaw.org. And if Jeff hasn't already done it, I'm sure that he will get it up on the Facebook page for those of you that are commuting and don't necessarily have a chance to write this stuff down in advance. With that said, Tova, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. This, as an inaugural effort, I think worked out pretty darn well.
Oh, Tony, we're so grateful to you for giving us a chance to get our message out. And the one thing I will say, if it's all right, is that folks should not only look at our site to gather information about us and learn what we do, but if people need help, we encourage them to contact us. We have limited resources. We can't take every case that comes to us, but we have a commitment that if there's a case that we're not the right folks to handle, we will help people find the right representation, and that's part of our mission. So I really want folks to understand that's part of what we offer.
All right.
As well.
Thank you, Tova. God bless you, and we will look forward to talking to you at the Sugar Law Center next month.
Thanks so much, Tony.
You bet. Mark Schauer, when we continue, stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Checking on a couple of accidents. One on 96 eastbound at Milford Road has your left lane blocked, and that's causing stop and go traffic from Pleasant Valley Road. And on northbound 75 at Sashabar Road, your right shoulder is blocked. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with showers in the early morning. Tonight, 50 degrees and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 63 with showers scattered throughout the whole day. And it's currently 57 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Employees at Plymouth Nuclear Power Plant Station in Plymouth, Massachusetts, have authorized union leaders to call a strike. Jesse Russell has more.
The employees are represented by the Utility Workers of America, who say contract negotiations are stalled. Dozens of contract issues are holding up negotiations over the contract, which expires on May 15th at midnight. The plant is operated by Entergy Corporation, and some of the issues making workers resilient to signing the contract are proposals by the company including shifting the cost of health care and unsafe working conditions. The company has also sought to provide a national health care carrier that the union says doesn't have a large enough presence in the state. 99% of the Pilgrim Station workers vote in favor of the strike authorization. The company does have a plan in place in the event that the strike does occur, which includes using employees from its 10 other plants around the country. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission also has a contingency strategy to assist nuclear plants facing strike action in order to ensure the safety of the population.
French workers and their unions are hoping that the election of Socialist President François Hollande will mean a new day for workers on a variety of issues. Paul Fourier is with the French union CGT. He says Hollande's election is a rejection of austerity policies across Europe.
It's a rejection of austerity programs in all Europe, you know, because we said that the austerity plans in Europe, in all, every country in Europe, is not the solution for people, for citizens and workers, of course. And we have to find something to promote growth in Europe, to promote wages, to promote jobs creation.
Poirier says President Hollande will bring new policies as well as a new way of governing when it comes to workers' issues.
A new way of speaking with unions, of speaking to workers and to citizens, you know. It's 30 years we were waiting for this new socialist president, you know, this new left president. I think it's a good hope in France.
A U.S. Senate vote is expected soon on a bill that would stop a big student loan interest rate hike. The current rate is 3.4%. Unless this bill passes, that rate would go to 6.8%. 600,000 petition signatures have been gathered in an effort to persuade the senators to vote to keep student loan interest rates where they are. The petition signatures were gathered by Rebuild the Dream, Credo Action, and U.S. Action. President Obama and soon-to-be GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney both support the bill. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and by OPEIU, Office and Professional Employees International Union. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back indeed. 35 minutes after the hour. I am, you've heard me discuss this a few times on the show. We've actually been promoting it for a while now, but it's important that we have a deeper conversation. One of my favorite people in the whole wide world is on the other end of my line. So instead of listening to me blabber on, I'm going to get to him. Joining us now is former Congressman Mark Schauer. Mark is currently the president of the Blue-Green Alliance and the national co-chair of the Alliance Jobs 21, or the Blue-Green Alliance Jobs 21 initiative. And he's here to talk about a conference happening in Detroit this week that you need to get to. It's called, and it's online at greenjobsconference.org. And Mark Schauer joins us now to talk about that conference. Mark, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Hey, well, it's great to be on, Tony.
I appreciate it. Let's just get right to it. I know it's at the Detroit Marriott at the Renaissance. I saw Sue there from your staff at the AFT conference the last weekend, and she, of course, had a smile, as she always has a smile on her face. By the way, everywhere I go, she shows up. I'm in Kalamazoo speaking to the steelworker. Steelworkers, and there's Sue. I'm at the AFT speaking.
Well, Sue Brown is incredible in this work of, you know, finding the win-win between workers, companies, communities, the environment, and I'm honored to work with Sue. Now, Tony, you gave me a promotion. I don't want any of my bosses to get upset. I am the national co-chair of the Blue-Green Alliance Jobs 21 campaign, and Sue Brown is my colleague in this great work. She's been on the ground for a couple of years. In fact, she was working when I was in Congress on comprehensive climate change legislation. While that bill didn't get enacted into law, many important things happened while I was in Congress in terms of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act and many tools to help the auto industry. These are some of the things we're going to talk about at our Good Jobs, Green Jobs conference in Detroit. You know, the Blue-Green Alliance has held these Good Jobs, Green Jobs conferences in Washington for the past few years, and we made the decision that we wanted to be all over the country because, you know, I mean, Washington is Washington. Let's face it. There are a lot of folks that think that Washington is, 27 square miles surrounded by reality. And we are the reality out here in Detroit, and conferences have been in Philadelphia, Atlanta, and L.A. So we've got folks coming from all over the Midwest to Detroit Thursday and Friday. And if folks still would like to register or participate, they can go to Blue Green Alliance, all one word, bluegreenalliance.org, and still sign up and come and join us. But, you know, the work that we're, you know, we're going to talk about things like modernizing schools to become healthy, safe, and green. And Dave Hecker, president of AFT Michigan, will be one of those panelists. Dave is a great partner of the Blue-Green Alliance. Of course, we're going to hear from the White House, the Council of Environmental Quality. We're going to be spending a fair amount of time talking about the resurgence of the auto industry, and we are the center of innovation and clean vehicles and new technology, and we're going to lead the world, and we're going to talk about that. Bob King will be speaking, have the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Energy. We're going to present awards to John Dingell and Debbie Stabenow. So, I'm proud of this work, and the clean energy economy is the fastest growing economic sector of our economy. We've got to continue to support it.
No, there's no question that's true. Who should be coming to this conference, Mark Schauer? Is it open to anybody?
It's open to anybody. You know, I would say if you're a member of a union and want to learn more about this work, we have 8 unions that are part of that are national partners. If you're part of an environmental organization that is doing this work on the ground and wants to get sort of a sense of what's going on around the Midwest, if you're a local elected official or a community leader, a faith leader, grassroots activist, you're a business, we've got plenty of business partners that are engaged with us. This is really the place to be if you want to be a part of growing the clean economy in the Midwest. It's such a win-win-win, you know, for good jobs, and I said this is the fastest growing sector of our economy right now, so good jobs, cleaning our air and water and protecting our Great Lakes here in the Midwest. If you want to be about becoming more energy independent, more nationally secure, and, Tony, more globally competitive. We are in a race with China and European countries and folks that are making huge investments in things like transportation infrastructure, for example, and we could use a little bit of leadership from Washington in that regard, but much hangs in the balance right now, and this is our chance to really profile the successes, the good work, the results of labor management collaboration between unions and communities and the environmental sector. So it's very, very exciting.
Well, when we first had you on some months back talking about the initialization of the Blue-Green Alliance and what it meant and that beautiful partnership between, the labor and the green jobs community and how they had come together and really are creating some unique and important partnerships that will move the economy forward. We do know that Michigan is leading and does have a chance to really pull away in this race to create profoundly important and more importantly, real middle income jobs.
Exactly.
for this state at a time when we need to be diversifying. This
exactly.
Really where our energy should be, Mark. And we had that conversation initially 8 or 9 months ago.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll cite a couple of examples. First, we have to acknowledge the incredible advances and innovation in the auto industry, and that's been a true partnership between the UAW and GM, Ford, and Chrysler. And the president, raised the bar by challenging the auto industry to hit new fuel efficiency standards. And instead of sort of the old paradigm where folks in the industry resisted that, including a lot of political leaders, I think there were 13 car companies joined the UAW and environmental groups and decided that it is the right thing to embrace the future, to reduce our dependence on foreign oil, to create vehicles that people want to buy, and to actually customers will save money by spending less on fuel, and of course, in Michigan, we'll create tens of thousands of jobs. That's a great example, and we're going to profile that at the Good Jobs, Green Jobs Conference Thursday and Friday in Detroit. You know, another we've talked about, Tony, I think the last time I was on your show was the generation of renewable energy, clean energy right here. You know, we, Blue Green Alliance is supported nationally 25% by the year 2025 renewable energy standard, and now we have a chance to put that on the ballot here. It's called Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs, and, you know, I see union workers right now, Tony, some of whom are sponsors of your show that are out there building wind farms in the Thumb, in mid-Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula, on the west side of the state, and we've got a chance to do more and more of that. And again, the public is ahead of, you know, politicians and a lot of other folks in that they have an appetite for, you know, energy independence, clean energy, cleaner air, cleaner water. So those are a couple of concrete examples in there. I mentioned green schools. Michigan just received two schools in Michigan were awarded by the U.S. Department of Education as green, you know, model green schools. So we've got so much to talk about here, and I people want to learn more. They should come to the Good Jobs, Green Jobs Conference at the Marriott at the Renton Thursday and Friday.
Absolutely. I do want to, again, let people know you can register right on their website. We're going to get it onto the Facebook page so people, once they get to work, can click through to it. There's the website's, by the way, quite comprehensive. There's a lot of stuff on there, including, do you want to see if maybe your union's one of the sponsors? You're probably going to be surprised, or not surprised, because they are. But just go to www.greenjobsconference.org. That's .org. And that way you can register there. You can do everything you need to do on that website and get all the information you need. Mark Schauer, I want to thank you for being with us. We're going to try to check in with you guys maybe on Friday, see how things are going. I've got to get in touch with Eric again, but I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking next year, because this is going to grow and you're going to do it again next year.
Yep.
We just didn't have time to do it this year, but next year we're going to do our show live from the conference is what we're going
to
do.
That's great, Tony. Well, we'll keep in touch, and it's always great to talk to you. You know, a lot of people you know, are cynics or outright give misinformation about what's going on in the clean economy, and they have their own agendas, political agendas, economic agendas, whatever it may be. But, you know, we're going to show that this is working, this is happening, this is creating good jobs and protecting our environment.
Yeah, the best part is it happens to be true. Mark Schauer, thanks so much for being with us. We'll look forward to touching base with you. And, folks, we've got to get out for the top of the hour. No, not for the top of the hour, for Occupy Detroit. We wouldn't want to forget them. That's right, 7:50 comes up after this break. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night, I must admit. That is really something. You haven't gone to work on this pancake yet.
On 1310.
Number one, I need some pancakes. And number two,
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triviano.
Elizabeth Weiger joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. Welcome back. It is that time, and I'm happy to welcome Bexley back to First Shift, Tommy Nugent. Now, you'll remember we had Tommy on, it was quite a while back, maybe 3, even 4 months ago. But he's here. Tommy is amongst the many things, an activist, a performer, just a great guy. He has an important message for us. He's about to take a little road trip that you need to hear about. You know, we just had the GE shareholders meeting here in Detroit. That was very successful. Well, if you want to travel a little south to North Carolina, there's another shareholder meeting going on that you need to know about. And I want to welcome back to First Shift Tommy Nugent. Tommy, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Tony. It's great to be back. It was great to meet you at the 99% spring training as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us what's going on with regard to the Bank of America shareholders meeting in North Carolina. I understand that there are a group of people from the Detroit area headed down that way.
Yeah, there's four of us kind of splitting up the way we're going. Two are flying. Two have already begun to drive out. And this is one of those opportunities where doing things with Occupy Detroit, it's been great to stand shoulder to shoulder with people and fight for other people. But this one is personal. You know, I am a Bank of America mortgage holder, and I am way underwater in my loan. And I have, I'll tell you how it went. We applied for a modification, and they never had any record supposedly of receiving it. So they said, fax it. We faxed it. They had no record of receiving that. We had a stretch for a few months where my wife was out of work, and during that time that my wife was out of work, and then they received my application and said, because she was out of work, we don't qualify for the remod. Well, she's back in work now, and the application process doesn't seem to work, so I figure let's go to the shareholder meeting and ask them face-to-face.
You know, it seems to me that we hear this story, Tommy, over and over and over again, you know, that people go for a modification, and there's this series of either they don't get your paperwork or they continue to need a document that you've already sent them, so you send that in. And it's almost like there's this telepathic thing going on. Like they just know when you're hurting a little bit, and that's when they all of a sudden want to put it all together for you and then tell you, well, listen, because your wife's not working, dude, you know, had we had done this a month ago, we'd have been fine, but hey, can't do it now. Sorry, bud. Good luck to you.
Yeah, amazing. That's the application they found of the ones we sent.
That's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And I've got to ask, have they just basically been fairly non-responsive?
Yeah, we've literally spent hours on the phone, on hold, being transferred from person to person, trying to speak with human beings that could help us. And we could not make it happen. And like I said, you know, we're able to pay our mortgage payment now. You know, we're not in danger of losing our house, but we're throwing money into this giant black hole. I bought a $150,000 modest 1,200-foot square foot home. I didn't even try to do business with Bank of America. I went through a local mortgage company that sold my mortgage to some bank that sold it to some other bank that I think got taken over by Bank of America. So I didn't even try to be in business with these guys. But when I called them, spent literally hours, my wife, all these applications, we had a three-week period of time where we couldn't make our mortgage payment because we ran out of unemployment insurance, thanks to Governor Snyder. During those 3 weeks that we couldn't pay our mortgage, this company that we couldn't get anyone to talk to called us three times every single day asking if we could put our payment on our credit card or do a check by phone. It's amazing. When they want to get a hold of you, they get a hold of you, but when we get some help, they weren't there.
Yeah, that's for darn sure. All right, so you're going to head down there. Now, are you going to protest? Are you going to try to get into the meeting? What's the game plan?
Yeah, I'm a proxy shareholder now. So we have access, along with people coming from all over the country, from all different organizations, and we will be inside at the shareholders meeting, and any opportunity that we can raise these issues, we're going to do it. And, you know, we will be peaceful, but we may not be orderly.
Okay, well, you know, make sure that you check back in with us after you get back, Tommy, so we can let everybody know what went down, how all that went, and I think it's important that we continue to tell this story because this has to change, pal. It has to.
And I'm one of many, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Tommy. Appreciate you being with us this morning. Have a safe trip, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Tony.
You bet. All right. Listen, we will be following this. By the way, Chris Mihalakis will be talking about this a little bit in the next hour. For those of you that don't remember, and we're going to tell his story again. You know, Chris used to be with Bank of America, and he's not any longer, and we are going to remind you of why. We're going to remind you of why in just a minute. Listen, before we get to the break, I got to tell you, Sunday's Mother's Day, and if you have not taken care of Mom yet, I really need you to do me a favor, because I want you all to have a good Sunday, and I want you to have a good weekend. And it's not just Mom. It's probably wife, and maybe even your sister, an aunt, a grandmother. I mean, there are a lot of women in our lives that, you know, serve as that surrogate mom. And it's important that we honor them in every way we know how. And maybe it's a phone call, and that's great. And maybe you buy them a card, and that's fine, too. But let me just tell you the deal. If you go to proflowers.com right now, click at the microphone on the top, type in Tony T, you're going to get a dozen rainbow-colored roses and a free vase for $19.99. Seriously, just $19.99. Call around Metro Detroit and find out what a dozen roses and a vase will cost, and you'll figure out quickly what the deal is. Now, let's say you want to do something even a little more special. For $10 more, you can send another dozen roses with the free vase and a box of chocolates for just another $10. It's that simple. Just go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone, the keyword Tony T, and you get all this deal. You can have one of the two deals. You can either get the dozen roses with the vase for $19.99, or you can get the two dozen with the vase and the chocolates for $10 more. It's that simple. And you don't want it. Trust me, at that price, there's no one in your life that hasn't had a positive influence on you that you can't honor by sending them a beautiful bouquet of flowers. And then here's the other thing we know. They're going to be, they guarantee them for at least 7 days. And we demonstrated during the Valentine's Day holiday that the flowers that, you know, we got at our house lasted 2 weeks, 14 days. Beautiful flowers. Proflowers.com. Click on the mic. Tony T. Get the deal. Dozen roses, free vase, $19.99 for $10 more. An extra dozen flowers and roses. And the chocolates with the free vase. Let's take a quick break for the top of the hour. Chris Mihalakis and Susan Reed in the next hour. Lots to do yet, and we don't even have enough time, but we'll get it all in. Stay where you're at. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking on a couple of accidents. One on 96 eastbound at Milford Road has your left lane blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from Pleasant Valley Road. And on northbound 75 at Sachabar Road, your right shoulder is blocked. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with showers in the early morning. Tonight, 50 degrees and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 63 with showers scattered throughout the whole day. And it's currently 57 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
...by the CIA in Yemen as they broke up a plot to take down a U.S. airliner around the anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. NBC's Steve Handelsman.
Officials say the FBI has the bomb from Yemen in its labs for testing. They say it's the next generation of the underwear bomb that fizzled.
A showdown in the Senate today over that Democratic plan to keep student loan rates from doubling. Republicans say they want to freeze rates, but don't like the way Democrats would pay for it by hiking payroll taxes on some corporations. President Obama on the road in upstate New York, calling on lawmakers to address his economic proposals, including a measure allowing homeowners to refinance at lower interest rates. And those gas pains are easing again. The price at the pump down 2 cents overnight to $3.76 for regular. That's a drop of 17 cents from a month ago. This is NBC News Radio. Americans are still packing on the pounds. In fact, a new CDC projection warns that 42% of the population will be obese by 2030. Researchers say billions of dollars will be added to health care costs. Don't leave home without it. Consumers are consuming more and paying later. CNBC's Jackie DeAngelis.
Americans are pulling plastic out of their wallets again. The Fed saying that consumer borrowing surged more than 10% in March, led by credit cards, student loans, and new car loans. That's the biggest monthly jump since 2001.
The Tar Heel State expected to take a tough line on gay marriage, North Carolina voting on a constitutional amendment defining marriage as solely between a man and woman. And did the brontosaurus break wind? Climate scientists say dinosaur flatulence may have been a major culprit in methane greenhouse gas that kept the ancient world toasty and may have contributed to their extinction. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Mikleshevsky, NBC News Radio.
Hello, this is your navigation system. Your destination is now set for Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, where you will always find the perfect gift for her. Jared has an incredible selection of beautiful diamond fashion necklaces, earrings, rings, and bracelets from fabulous brands like Love's Embrace, Heart's Desire, and L'Evian Chocolate Diamonds. Prices starting at $100. You have arrived. Tell it, radio singers.
It can only be Jared.
Micro talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of sales event.
We are the big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
We have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy four select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires and involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 531-12.
There's a new way for the Girl Scouts, which teach young women development of healthy habits, to sell junk food. Nestle is teaming up with the Scouts for their 100th anniversary, announcing today the rollout of three Crunch candy bar editions infused with thin mint, caramel coconut, and peanut butter cream flavor of the Girl Scout cookies, available only through summer. All the talk of pink slime beef recently is now resulting in pink slips. Beef Products Incorporated blames lost business following calls for bans on ammonium-treated beef for the fact it's closing three plants in Texas, Kansas, and Iowa and cutting 650 jobs. Saudi Arabia says it is now pumping 10 million barrels of crude oil every day. That reassurance is helping let some more air out of oil futures, down almost a dollar to about $97 a barrel in early electronic trades. Day after Wall Street investors shook off early losses, we have futures losses again. S&P futures down 5. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Email marketing works great for small business, and Constant Contact email marketing works best of all. How do we know? Because we have something the other guys don't have. Proof. According to an independent study, small businesses that use Constant Contact get 36% more of their emails open and 60% more responses. The result? A whopping 29% more revenue. Put Constant Contact email marketing to work for your small business. Go to ConstantContact.com to sign up for a free trial today.
Narrowman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Narrowman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
Mike Rowe here at a Ford dealer with Fiona. Fiona here was just telling me the Ford dealer sells something like a new tire every 5 seconds. How's that possible?
Well, Ford purchases about 3 million tires a year.
Seems like a lot of tires.
11 major brands.
And you just sold one right now.
We also have what's called low price tire guarantee.
How's that work?
We'll beat anybody's advertised price guarantee.
And get a $100 rebate when you buy 4 select tires.
You're not going to run out, are you?
Absolutely not.
Promise?
I promise.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer for rebate.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes, actually it's 7 minutes. Wow, caught me off guard. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock here on the 8th day of May, 2012. And I got to tell you, May's already flying by. You stop and think about it. Here's what we've got going on. And by the way, in this hour, we're going to give away 2 tickets to the Michigan Summit. So if you want to go, you got to make sure you can go, though, to win the tickets. Don't say you want them and then not show up and get them. We're going to have your name at the door, so you don't need to worry about me mailing you anything. I just need your name, and that's all I need. You'll have 2 tickets waiting for you. So we're going to give those away in this. You know what? We'll even do it in this half hour. But we will be giving those away. So I just want to let you know about that, and I'll let you know when to call in on those. But you've got to make sure you can go. It's this Saturday starting at 8 a.m. at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing. All right, we have Chris Mihalakis coming up in just a moment. And then at the bottom of the hour, Susan Reed will be joining us from Welcome, Michigan. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But very quickly, before we go any further, I'm reading some headlines, as I do during every break. And there's a story, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it tomorrow. But there's a bill that's going to allow concealed guns in schools, churches, and hospitals. I want you to think about that. Just let that ruminate for you. All right, give me an intro and let's go.
First Shift honors our political and legislative director.
Hey, let me just point something out here. The Tea Party has such a radical, radical right-wing agenda that they're so desperate to pass this horrible law that would not only break unions, but really destroy the middle class in this state.
Here is Metro Detroit AFL-CIO president.
That they would go to this extreme to extort a fellow Republican,
Chris Mihalakis.
That's right, joining us from Chicago, because labor leaders have to travel, and this one is traveling. Welcome back, brother. Good to have you with us.
Hey, good to be here. It's a great great day here in Chicago, and looking forward to meeting Ed Schultz today, actually.
Oh, well, tell him I said hello, if you would.
I will. And
for those that don't know, I'll be sitting in for Ed it's June 8th, 11th, and 12th, which is a Friday, Monday, Tuesday, so Eddie can go fishing. Tony's going to sit in the big chair. And look forward to that. Maybe I'll even have Chris Mihalakis on.
That would be something, eh?
Well, if you'd like to do it, you let me know. I got 9 hours of radio to fill.
I'd be more than happy to.
Well, we'll work that out. We'll work that out. Listen, I think that, because it's a great story, and I remember we go back a few months on this story. There's, you know, we promoted this, by the way, before we had John, and there was a national action day when we were asking people to walk away from their big bank and go towards a credit. Go to the light. The light, of course, was a credit union of your choice. And you actually are one of the people that not just did it, but you ended up having a pretty compelling story.
Yeah, I mean, and just to refresh your audience's memory, we had that big action down at the downtown branch of Bank of America. That's also their division headquarters, or where they have a lot of offices. And so I went inside while the crowds were outside, and I basically asked for a cashier's check with all my cash out all of my assets, and I moved my my accounts into my bank into the Dearborn Federal Credit Union. And it was funny, Tony. One of the things that came up was, to me, the straw that broke the camel's back was, you know, they had all these taxpayer abuses. They were abusing the money they got in the bailout and weren't paying any federal income taxes. They claimed to not be engaged in any subprime loan lending, and it turns out they were involved in this. And then on top of that, they were foreclosing on my neighbors, you know, members of our of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, people in Detroit, people all over the metropolitan area. And, you know, here's this out-of-state company that was very quick to come to Michigan and to take over a Michigan bank, and then kick out of their homes many of our residents. And you know, I told the people behind the people that were walking me through this process. First of all, by their own policies, the teller or the banker that I had to see to close my account was required to spend a half hour convincing me to stay with the bank and had to go through this, oh, you may have heard blah, 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 but we're really committed. You know, they have to, like, give this stupid pitch. And finally, you know, after a few minutes, I told her, I'm like, I'm sorry, man. Like, there's nothing against you. You know, I don't want to get you in any trouble, but there's nothing you're going to tell me that's going to convince me to stay with you. I've already opened up an account with my credit union and et cetera. So I had the branch manager, the regional marketing director, and the division president all come down to try to convince me to stay with the bank. And it was like the only time in my life I've ever gotten that much attention for, you know, a few measly $1,000 in savings and in checking. And so what I told them was that they chose to bank with me, and not just me, the millions and millions of other people that banked with Standard Federal. And, you know, I years ago when I was in college, I opened up a new checking account. It was with Standard Federal because they were a Michigan bank. They invested in Michigan. They had a large presence here. But then in 2005, they get bought out by LaSalle Bank. 2007, they become part of ABN AMRO, which is a big Dutch banking conglomerate. And then in 2008, ABN AMRO gets absorbed by Bank of America. And it's like, you know, all along the way, they forgot how to take care of their customers and forgot what it means to be invested in their communities. And so while all this was, before I pulled my money out of the account about a year prior, right after the towards the end of the foreclosure or the banking crisis and the banking bailout, I actually became a shareholder of Bank of America, and one of the reasons why, you know, people were telling me to invest in this company is because Bank of America was claiming we didn't get involved in any subprime lending, which turned out not to be true. We survived the financial crisis because we weren't, you know, giving out these subprime loans, and we did a better job of being fiscally responsible. And, you know, I bought into that. I thought a lot of that was true, and I thought, okay, these guys might have done a lot of things right, and maybe this is something we want to reinforce. Turns out, you know, a lot of that wasn't true, and now I have these shares of B of A that I am more than happy. I would be down in North Carolina today if I wasn't here in Chicago on business. But I'm more than happy to share with my sisters and brothers in the Occupy movement, because, you know, I could sell my shares in some sort of act of protest, but I would rather, Tony, hold B of A accountable and really help work with everybody else in the Occupy movement and in the 99 Spring movement to make them a better bank and to make them a private bank that I can be proud in and would want to have in my community. Now, I can tell you, I'm never leaving my credit union. I'm staying with them. I'm going to bank with them forever because I love the service I get from them, and I love that my money stays in my community. But unfortunately, the credit unions in Michigan aren't big enough to give out a lot of loans for mortgages and that sort of thing. So these big banks are kind of, they have the market on that, and so they're going to be around. But, you know, hopefully we can change this company from within. And hearing Tommy Nugent's story, I mean, that right there, Tony, is exactly why we need to change how they do business. What good does it do for communities? What good does it do for Bank of America to kick people out of their homes that just need, you know, a fair and reasonable adjustment of their mortgages?
Well, you know, and let me remind people, especially as I did a little research yesterday afternoon on today's segment when you told me this is something you wanted to discuss. In one day alone, now I'm going to give people the big number, but in one day alone, 2,500 people did what Chris Mihalakis did. Christos walked into a Bank of America branch and said, "This is my money. I want it back. I'm going to go put it somewhere else." You gave him a reason. You walked away. On one day, 2,500 people did that. Total, in an 11-day period. You ready for this number?
Yeah.
67,321 people pulled their money out of Bank of America and brought it somewhere else. Now, I can't tell you where they brought it. I don't know if they brought it to another big bank. I don't know if they brought it to a creek. I don't know, and I don't care. It worked.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, Tony, when I went to open up my account, I went to DFCU Financial, Dearborn Federal Credit Union, and they were telling me, the person that opened my account was telling me there were a lot of Bank of America customers coming in their direction. And even when I, a lot of times part of what they have to tell you when you pull your money out of Bank of America is that credit unions will not give you the same service that a bank will. There's not as many ATM locations, this and that. And when they asked me what credit union I was going to, and I told them, they said, "Oh yeah, they're really big."
All right, hold that thought. We got to get to the break. Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, is my guest. He's in Chicago. We're here in Detroit, but we're making this work. Technology, what a concept! We'll take the break and be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
75 is your hot spot right now. We got an accident on northbound 75 just before West Road that has your left lane blocked. That's causing slow traffic from Gibraltar. 75 northbound at Sashabaugh, your right shoulder is blocked. 75 southbound, just before M59, your right shoulder is blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Chrysler Drive. And 94 eastbound at Milford Road, your left lane is blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from U.S. 23. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with showers in the early morning. Tonight,
50 degrees and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 63 with showers scattered throughout the whole day. And it's currently 57 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585 59671. The 2012 Michigan Summit has an ambitious goal in mind, reaching across movements, geography, race, and gender to provide people skills and the ideas they need to make the American dream a possibility for all of us in 2012. Follow their lead and register today by going to themichigansummit.org. The Michigan Summit is hosted by Progress Michigan and generously supported by the Arcus Foundation and sponsors like the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan Voice, Service Employees International Union, America Votes, and many more. Please join Progress Michigan on Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, beginning at 8 a.m. in what promises to be an amazing day of activities, including the dynamic keynote speakers George Goel and Barbara Arnwine. Don't delay your registration. Just go to themichigansummit.org and register now to guarantee your seat for what will be an amazing day of activism and empowerment.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, unless you're Chris Mihalakis, then it's 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. He's in Chicago, and we welcome him back. Chris, I want to thank you, by the way. You put Tova Perlmutter on my path a while back. We haven't talked about this. And they began, the Sugar Law Center will be with us on a monthly basis as a result of your recommendation that they contact me. And we had, our inaugural interview today. She was amazing. And I'd not met her before. So what a blessing she is.
Oh, yeah. Tova's an amazing activist. And Sugar Law just does so much good work, and we find ourselves working together and in the trenches together very often. Their work on repealing PA4 and fighting back against PA4 has been amazing. They're a great company. They're a great organization.
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to thank you for sending Tova my way, and that obviously worked out. And I just, again, I hadn't mentioned it to you previously. Wanted to let you know that. We have connected. Let's go back. We were talking about, of course, your experience with Bank of America, withdrawing your personal funds, starting or going over to a credit union, which a lot of people did. There was a specific period of time, and I don't even remember when it was. It was a couple months back. But, you know, it sent a message, and it sent a message that was heard. Now, will it matter? That's the question that everybody asks, right? Will it matter? At the end of the day, will Bank of America or Chase or anybody else change the way they do business? Because this is ultimately about profit loss, Chris. And banks are going to do what they need to do to make money. Here's what we know for sure. They're still profiting to the tunes of the industry, it is, to the tunes of billions of dollars. They were also given a bailout that they don't have to pay back, which many of us would consider to be a little unfair. With all that said, what's the point in doing what you did? Why should others maybe follow your example?
Well, you know, Tony, my measly, you know, account may not have made an impact, but when combined with, you know, hundreds of thousands or dozens of thousands of people across the country doing it, it made a huge impact. In fact, by the time, you know, if you recall, Tony, one of the things that happened then was while Bank of America was receiving just, you know, ungodly amounts of money in bailouts and making record profits and not paying taxes, on top of that, they decided to raise fees on all their customers. And, you know, coming out of the United Food Commercial Workers Union, I got very upset because we know how that affects business in our stores. You know, people do not spend as much money on groceries. You know, they'll buy cheaper food stuffs instead of the more premium stuff. They'll buy more, you know, prepared food instead of fresh food, and that hurts our members. You know, when you jack up fees like that, and they had absolutely no justification for doing it. They did it because they could. And, you know, banks, when they get that powerful, stop acting as if they're on a fair or free market and start acting like monopolies and oligopolies. And so part of the outcry, when they raised their fees, there was so much outcry and so many people started pulling out so quickly that they got rid of that provision of charging people monthly maintenance fees. And so that's one thing that right away put more money into, kept money into the local economy and kept it from fleeing and going to, the shareholders' pockets instead of the pockets of workers all over the country that would have been affected by this.
Yeah, you know, and interestingly, of course, I've had conservatives call this show and say, hey, listen, you know, Tony, in all fairness, businesses and banks are businesses, have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. And indeed, Chris Mihalakis, they do have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. They absolutely do. But they have a fiduciary responsibility to all of their shareholders, not just the ones that have the greatest influence.
Well, and Tony, you're right. You know, as a shareholder, Bank of America has a fiduciary responsibility to me and people like me and people like me in Michigan. Keep money in our communities. You know, it's one thing to – I'm not ever going to make – a living, living off my money, having my money work for me. I'm never going to be that way. I never inherited money. You know, the only way to really be rich, very, very rich today, like some of these B of A executives, is to, you know, be born rich and have your money work for you your whole life. I am going to, my money that I amass throughout my life will always come as a result of working for a paycheck. And so for all the people like me who, you know, maybe have a little bit of retirement savings in B of A stock or just have a little side investment here and there, the way we are best protected and what our interests are to protect that paycheck. You know, the way I can make my interests are that all the working people in Metro Detroit and all over Michigan, are in good paying jobs, are making good money, are able to keep their money in their communities, are able to shop at Union grocery stores and able to buy American cars and, you know, have that paycheck power to live this middle class life that we all benefit from. Those are my interests. That's the fiduciary responsibility I want Bank of America to uphold when acting in the state of Michigan or you know, not even just within Michigan, when deciding how to treat all of their shareholders and all of their customers.
All right, let's quickly go to the phone and go into Mark in Birmingham. Mark, you're on the air with Chris Mihalakis.
Yeah, I was just wondering if your guest recognizes the irony that the more the government bails out, whether it's the banks, Solyndra, GM, student loans, the higher the prices are raised by those entities because they're protected from market forces. When the government intervenes, it screws up the natural order of capitalism. That's, we have to stop the crony capitalism all across the board, whether it's to corporations or nonprofits or these green energy sinkholes.
Okay, well let's let my guest, if you the way you could my guest, I'll let him respond to that. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, you know, I think when it came to the financial bailout, you know, I'm no financier. I don't know what was needed and what wasn't. I, like everybody else, was scared. And in hindsight, I mean, I don't know what I would have done differently. It seems like the banks hoodwinked us all and basically told us the sky is falling unless you give us all this money, and then turn around and did what capitalists do and, you know, ignore all their morals and or not even ignore their morals, not have any morals when being when engaging in business and just doing whatever they want to do to maximize their profits, despite who would hurt. At the same time, you know, when you're talking about green energy and the auto industry, those companies actually make things. When General Motors survived because of the bailout, when Chrysler is doing great business now because of the bailout, they're putting people to work that are making good money, good, you know, middle class jobs, and
yeah,
they're making cars. When banks got bailed out, what did they make? What did they produce? They just went after and took it to their customers even worse.
No question. Chris, yeah, we're just out of time for today. You have a safe trip. We'll touch base with you when you get back into town. Tell Big Eddie I said hello and thanks for your time today.
I appreciate it, brother. I'll see you next week.
You bet. Chris Mialakis will be with us in studio next week. A quick break. Welcoming Michigan. All that and more on the other side.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Still working on that accident on 96 eastbound at Milford Road that has your left lane blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from U.S. 23. Headed over to 75 southbound just before M59. Your right shoulder is blocked by an accident that's causing slow traffic from Lapeer Road. And we got reports of a construction barrel in the left lane on 94 eastbound at Hagerty. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with showers in the early morning. Tonight, 50 degrees and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 63 with showers scattered throughout the whole day. And it's currently 57 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First, the corruption. Then, the cover-up. And now, a sham to cover up the cover-up. This is the ongoing saga of the sorry state of corporate morality at the highest levels of Walmart. Since 2002, the global retailing Goliath has brazenly violated America's Foreign Corrupt Practices Act by doling out some $24 million in bribes to gain control of Mexico's retail market. For years, top executives, including the CEO and a former CEO, conspired to cover up Walmart's butt-ugly corruption, but a New York Times expose has now stripped them naked. Shamelessly displaying their usual hubris, however, the executives have launched a PR campaign to convince us that Emperor Walmart remains covered in robes of exquisite ethics. Even if the corruption charge is true, says a dissembling corporate spokesman, it is not a reflection of who we are or what we stand for. Oh? Who does he mean by we? Walmart is defined by the top executives and board members who make corporate policy and who conducted and covered up the flagrantly illegal acts. Yet, They want us to believe that someone else is responsible for staining what we stand for. Perhaps those nice greeters at their megastores are the guilty ones. For a measure of who and what Walmart really is, look no further than its post-expose scramble to set up a brand-spanking new top-level legal compliance office. Ethics are us, it now claims. After the scandal broke, Walmart announced that an executive officer will henceforth make sure Walmart employees obey the law. This is Jim Hightower saying, what a sham. First, Walmart's employees aren't the problem. Its so-called leaders are. Second, if top executives don't know or care that bribery is unethical, an ethics office will be as worthless as a Jell-O doorstop.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Don't forget, don't worry, I didn't forget. We've got a couple tickets to give away to the Michigan Summit. We will do that. We will do that at 8:50. So stay tuned for that. And what's coming up? So don't worry about that. Something crossed my desk the other day, and I drove Jeff crazy because I said, we got to get it on, and he said, we don't have time. We had time. You know, wasn't easy, but we made some time. What is it? Well, there's some, this a new thing. Now, you guys all know that I am one crazy liberal, right? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. I actually believe in that. I recite that probably more than anybody in the state of Michigan ever has. When I ran for Congress, I was criticized for my immigration policy. In fact, that's all my opponent had to go on. So, you know, he did this nice little thing about me and UFOs, aliens, get it? Not funny, but he thought it was. Anyway, long story short, we need to do a better job of not only embracing and accepting immigrants into our communities. They may be what saves Southeast Michigan and beyond. Joining me now is Susan Reed. Susan is the supervising attorney with the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center. She is a graduate of the University of Minnesota's Law School and Marquette University. Susan has practiced immigration and immigrants' rights law since 2003. And she joins us today in the aftermath of a press conference yesterday, which inaugurated a brand new initiative called Welcoming Michigan. And we welcome Susan Reed to First Shift. Susan, a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's my pleasure.
All right. So let me throw it out to you. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. Am I the only one that cares about that?
Well, you know, honestly, as part of the Welcoming Michigan initiative and at the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center, we don't think you are. We think that most people in Michigan are really people of goodwill, but that a lot of people have fears and anxieties as they see changes in the community that they don't understand. And so, you know, we think that most people are people of goodwill, but they may have concerns or fears and anxieties, and they may not really know the really positive facts about who immigrants are in our economy and in our communities. And so Welcoming Michigan is really, it's not an initiative that's advocating a particular policy change. Welcoming Michigan is about trying to address those fears and anxieties in order to build mutual respect between our immigrant communities and U.S.-born communities, because we really believe that, you know, that it's easy to let differences separate us, but that Michigan thrives when we welcome immigrants. We think our history reflects that, and we think it's part of our future. There are a lot of great indicators.
All right, and let's get this straight. When we say immigrants, we're not saying illegal immigrants or legal immigrants. We're just saying immigrants. We're not necessarily categorizing them, are we?
No, we're not in this initiative. You know, this initiative is local. It's community-based. We have local teams working in four communities. We're hoping to do more work around the state. And it's about communities taking a look at who is here today, who is seeking to make this community their home. You know, we as local members of our communities very rarely have a lot of control over what the federal immigration policy is. And so this initiative is about saying, how can we get along better? How can we be more integrated as a community? How can we understand each other better today?
All right, so what is Welcoming Michigan? Is it a building? Is it a concept? Is it an idea? What is Welcoming Michigan?
So Welcoming Michigan really has sort of a three-pronged approach. One prong is strategic communications. So we have a strategic communications plan to do some targeted communication materials to share a positive message and a positive image about who immigrants are in our communities, really share some of those tremendously positive economic statistics. It is local leadership development, so working with folks in local communities that reach out to us, that see the fear and anxiety dividing in a way that's negative and that makes folks feel unwelcome or anxious. And then finally, it's public engagement. So public engagement in one community, folks might say, we're just ready for a potluck. We're ready to share some food and get to know each other a little better. Folks in another community might say, we're ready for a dialogue. We really want to open up the dialogue and let people express, you know, what their struggles have been, what their fears and concerns have been. So that's our three-pronged approach.
Well, I just, again, I found this so exciting. In fact, I think that literally within 3 minutes of my getting the email, I called you, Susan, and said, you know, hey, what's this? This is awesome, man. What's this all about? And you were nice enough to walk me through it, not even knowing. I didn't even identify myself. I just was so excited. And you said, excuse me, are you a journalist? Which I am not, by the way. I'm an activist. This is just one of those things that makes sense to me. It's just one of those things where you say, hey, listen, we live in a real world, and that world dictates that we have to treat each other with respect and dignity. That world, what you would like to think anyway, Susan Reed, that world that we live in says that, you know, maybe the answers to some of our problems might lie in those that we at some level pretend are non-existent or are ghost-like in some way, that they're invisible. These are real people with real issues just like we have, and they actually may be a solution to a problem and not the problem in itself.
Well, that's what we really want to bring out. I mean, we believe that being welcoming is the right thing to do, but that's not the whole story for Michigan. Michigan's the only state that lost population between 2000 and 2010. There's a tendency to maybe have kind of a knee-jerk, zero-sum game reaction to that. Like, you know, I understand where people are coming from when they say, that's right, so we can't have more people come here and take the jobs we do have. But that's not the story. Immigrants are really, there's so much evidence that immigrants are unique economic actors, that they have a level of entrepreneurial energy at all skill levels that really has the potential to reinvent, as we talk about a lot in Michigan, reinvent Michigan's economy. So we really think it's in everyone's interest to do the right thing, and that's a unique opportunity that we're trying to capitalize on.
Well, and let me share a little bit of information. First of all, I want people to know that this is Welcoming Michigan is an initiative between the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center with support from the Ford Foundation and the W.K. Kellogg Foundation as well. I want to make sure we mention them, Susan Reed. And then you also have a Facebook page, and we'll, again, get it up on ours, but it's facebook.com/welcomingMichigan. That's Welcoming Michigan. For anybody that wants to check it out, that's probably the easiest way to do it at this point, right?
That is the easiest way, and we have some great photos up from our launch yesterday. We had Hanson Clark come out. Congressman Clark really shared his story, which is an amazing Michigan immigrant story, and really, really connected that story to the economic development potential that immigration has. We had State Representative Rashida Tlaib and Steve Tobachman from Global Detroit. They've been huge supporters of this program. But Governor Snyder also endorses this program. So, you know, this isn't about what divides us when it comes to issues of immigration. We think it's that Michigan thrives when we can bring everybody together.
Well, again, I said earlier on the program today, this may be one of the few things that Governor Snyder and I Absolutely agree on, and I'm not afraid to say it when I see it. And this is one of those things that absolutely works. Susan, thank you so much for the generous amount of your time today and talking to us about Welcoming Michigan. Again, it's facebook.com/welcomingmichigan. Some great stuff there. I just want to encourage people to participate. If you know somebody that can benefit from the work that's going on there, share that information with them. This is, let's call it olive branch season. Thanks so much for being with us today, Susan.
Thanks, Tony. We're also at welcomingmichigan.org, live and running, and it was really my pleasure.
Oh, great. That's awesome. Okay, folks, just again, one of those things that just turned me on, and I am so excited that we were able to find, and I want to thank Chris Mihalakis for giving us some of his usual time so that we could have Susan Reed on the program today. It's so important that we start thinking differently. And this idea, listen, we've got so much stuff that we don't agree on. I get that. You know, I'm the leading champion of things we don't agree on. So I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with it. But every now and then, there are an idea or two that should transcend all of this crap that goes on, and we should agree that there are some things that are just the right thing to do. Now, with that said, I know there are some of you that are sitting there going, seriously, Tony? Seriously? Yeah, seriously. This is an important issue. You may find, and, you know, Governor Snyder spoke of this some months back, that maybe the answer to the population problem in the city of Detroit is that we need to invite more immigrants to come live there. It would be affordable. It would revitalize neighborhoods. It would create need where it doesn't. I mean, folks, just go into the city. It needs help. It needs help. And I'm telling you, it needs help for a variety of reasons. We need to help those that didn't abandon the city, that stayed and wanted to flourish. And there are a lot of those people. So we need to be mindful of that. I'm very excited about this Welcoming Michigan concept and so glad that we were able to put it in front of you today. I hope that you get a chance to check out the website or the Facebook page and to get involved at whatever level you're comfortable getting involved in. If nothing else, you have to give me this, if nothing else. I've been, after all of you to get involved with something, the last 10 days alone, I've given you folks multiple things to attach yourself to if you so desire. And I'm going to continue to do that tomorrow. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. If you would like two tickets to the Michigan Summit, two free tickets to the Michigan Summit, you need to call, leave your name with Anthony, and the first caller gets the tickets, but you have to be able to go. Okay? You have to be able to go. It's Saturday, 8 a.m., the Kellogg Center in Lansing. Give us a call now, 888-552-3595. If you'd like to get on the air, we're open lines at the top. Let's take the break. The first caller gets the tickets. We'll be back and wrap it up on the other side.
With Tony Trivia.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Susan Demas is a political analyst for MERS News Service, Domestic Partner Benefits. When that went poof, the immediacy of that was radical for a lot of people. And more importantly, Susan, it hurt a lot of people.
That's a piece of legislation that I personally am very offended by and don't think ever should have come to pass. And I don't understand why a Republican governor who claims to support civil unions would ever sign such a piece of legislation. However, it's not unusual for legislation in this state to get immediate effect. In fact, it is the norm. It is the extreme exception to the rule when it does not, no matter how uncontroversial or controversial it is.
Is it time to change the rule?
Well, we can discuss it. We can have a philosophical discussion, but the rules are going to be made by whoever's in power. So I don't think that either of us would be able to persuade Jace Bolton.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trippiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trippiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Don't forget, we have a couple of tickets, that's two, to give away today for the Michigan Summit, themichigansummit.org, if you want to check it out. And we're going to be giving tickets away the rest of the week. You just need to call and leave a name, and your name will be left at the door. Again, I don't only want to give them to somebody that's actually going to plan to go. It's up in East Lansing at the Kellogg Center, which is a beautiful facility. An amazing day. In fact, one of their keynote speakers is going to be with us tomorrow, right, Jeff? The keynote, George Goel's tomorrow, right?
That he is.
All right. Hey, listen, before I go any further, Jeff, have you already taken care of Mom for Mother's Day?
No. Oh, I'm actually looking for a great suggestion and an idea.
Well, thank you for the nice lead-in. I appreciate that. Nice segue there, bud. Listen, no, this is critical. This is critical. As I shared with you folks earlier last week, my mom passed away quite a long time ago. But that doesn't mean I don't have a lot of mom influences in my life. My dad remarried. My stepmother's a wonderful lady. Kay, I love you if you're listening. My mother-in-law, who is an amazing human being, is one of the most loving people I know. And I have other very strong females in my life that are mom figures. I'm going to suggest that that's true of a lot of people, whether you're male or female. Mom is, you know, for most of us, that critical rock foundation that we love and cherish, and we need to make sure that we honor this Sunday, because this Sunday's Mother's Day. So it's real simple. If you just go to proflowers.com and you click at the microphone at the top and you type in the keyword Tony T, you're going to get, you're going to order a dozen. The deal is a dozen roses, rainbow colored roses with a free vase. $19.99. You're not going to find a better deal anywhere in Metro Detroit. Nowhere are you going to find a deal like that. They're going to deliver them on time. You're going to tell them when to deliver them. They're going to deliver them fresh. They're going to last at least a week. At least a week. But here's a sweet deal. For $10 more, you can get another dozen roses, plus the vase still, and a box of chocolates. That's it. It's that simple. Why would you not do this? It makes so much sense. And you can, listen, at that price, you can take care of, again, all the mom influences in your life. So do me a favor, go to proflowers.com. Again, click on the mic, type in Tony T, and then you will, of course, get the deal. And then that deal again, simply a dozen red roses, a free vase, $19.99. For $10 more, an extra dozen roses, plus a box of chocolates, and everything you get in the original deal. Proflowers.com or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. All right. Wowza, wowza, what a day. I'm really, by the way, I'll be at the Michigan Summit on Saturday, and it was It was last year's Michigan Summit where I connected with David Hecker, because I had just been on the air a couple weeks when the Michigan Summit happened last year. That's where I reconnected with David Hecker from the AFT. That is also where I reconnected with Mark Schauer and lots of other people on that day. Then president of the of Progress Michigan, David Holtz, was kind enough to invite me to come. This year, Zach Pohl, who is the president of Progress Michigan, has invited me to come. I'm just like you. I'm just coming to check it all out, take it in. They have breakout sessions. You know, you can go to different things. They've got keynote speakers, as we have obviously already shared with you. The weather is supposed to be with us, so it's going to be a nice day to be at, and you know, near the Capitol. If you've never been to the Kellogg Center, it's gorgeous, by the way. Absolutely gorgeous. And then my son Dominic, who goes to Michigan State, who I just collected from there last Friday, told me they recently renovated the Kellogg Center. So I have not seen it since they renovated it. But he told me it looks beautiful. Just go to themichigansummit.org, themichigansummit.org. All the information's there. And then, again, if you want the tickets, you've got a couple more minutes to call. Nobody's called in for the tickets yet. So do that. I just, again, I want you to be able to go. I don't want to just collect names and have them at the door and then somebody not show up to get them. And then last year, you know, people were just confused. Your name will be at the door. It's that simple. You just need to show up and say, my name, if you win them, of course, my name is so-and-so, and you will get the tickets for free. That's that simple. So give us a call, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Did I just say 553? God, I hope I didn't say that. 552-3595.
No wonder. You're trying to save these tickets for yourself. No,
I don't need to worry about that, I assure you. I just can't believe I did that. How many times have I given that number out in the last year? You know, I have it on a piece of paper, as you know, Jeff, in my studio, and I still look at it when I need to give the number out. I mean, not every time, but I do look at it. All right, the number is 888-552-3595. But
were you looking at it when you said the other one?
No, and that's maybe the problem.
And now the phone rings, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, now that I've given out the right number. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Anyway, looking forward to that on Saturday. Got a wonderful email. If those of you that were listening earlier, we started a new series this morning in the 7 o'clock hour with the Sugar Law Center. Tova Perlmutter, their executive director, was on with us today, and she very much enjoyed the interview. We very much enjoyed having her. You know, one of the real benefits to doing what we do, and I've shared this with you before, folks, I get the same education you get. You know, I don't know a lot of this stuff until I start doing my homework for these segments, and then I have to go do my research and read and, you know, empower myself to this information. So I end up getting this amazing, I mean, really an amazing education. So I'm blessed. I truly am blessed that I get to do what I do on a daily basis. But Tova just sent a beautiful email, and I do appreciate that. And I will be responding to her after the show today. And again, we do have tomorrow. We do have one of the keynote speakers from the Michigan Summit on, and I think we're going to also do something on Friday's show as well to continue to promote the Michigan Summit. And then we've got the Green Jobs Conference going on both Thursday and Friday at the Renaissance, the Marriott at the Renaissance. We gave the tickets away. Congrats to, is that Margaret?
Yeah,
no,
sorry.
That's okay. We're just going to go with Margaret, no last names. Going to go with Margaret. Congratulations. You got the two tickets. Your name will be at the door. Again, it's at the Kellogg Center, and go to themichigansummit.org if you need directions or itineraries. And Margaret, make sure you come and say hi when you see me. All right, let's get out of here for today. We got a lot to do to get ready for tomorrow's show. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Anthony and Jeff, thank you for everything that you do to make this look as easy as it does. And it's not nearly as easy as it looks. This audience is amazing. Off the air, Tony@thetonyshow.org. Tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got some good news on 96 eastbound at Milford Road. They have cleared the accident there. Traffic is recovering, but you still watch out for some stop-and-go traffic from US 23. And on 75 southbound, just before M59, you still got that accident blocking your right shoulder, and that's making it a slow go from Lapeer Road. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 74 degrees with showers in the early morning. Tonight, 50 degrees and partly cloudy. Tomorrow is going to be 63 with showers scattered throughout the whole day. And it's currently 57 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. This is Detroit.